I thought that I have decided to take you out of your island power in your home. The weekend, and some of you have some celebration, weddings, parties, funerals, etc. We will try and move with speed. We just hope that we shall do justice to the discussion. This is the culmination of what we've been doing. What we want to do is just to have a sense of whether we are moving a bit forward in terms of what we have set ourselves to do. This process started way back in the Eastern Cape. I don't think the Eastern Cape here. Only people who did not invite for the Western Cape, especially because we still are going to visit the Western Cape. Then all other provinces were visited. And what we then do is to allow William to take us through in terms of the report that he's given to all of us. The National Treasury is going to come in. Province by province, we're going to dispute what is said about them, if anything is said negatively. But I suspect it is not intended to be just going to be honest and frank. Honest and frank about what's going on in your province. You see, precisely because what we want to finally do is to change what the Auditor General reports from time to time. We want to see unqualified reports finally in the sense of all the things that we're dealing with. Whether you're talking asset registers, whether you're talking finances, etc., staffing, all of the things. So the Auditor General must never be able to find some fault, especially from the municipality. That's the bottom line. Secondly, we want to see a massive fallout of service delivery in the staff of municipalities. We want to see municipalities becoming better and better day by day. And so the exercise really is about those things. And so as we discuss here, let's not lose sight of that overall position. Now, having been said that and welcomed all of you, there are still empty chairs right here, ladies and gentlemen, at the back. Madam, there are still empty chairs. Let's fill them up. All right. William.
Thank you, Chair. Again, my name is William Romke, the TPLG. I won't necessarily be making the PowerPoint presentation. I think that I've distributed the report. For those that don't have the report that's coming in, we still have some copies of them that they can then have. I must indicate that the Chair requested that we look in terms of the report, and I think this request came when we were in the Northern Cape also, to try and understand where we started from and where we're going to, and whether we are reaching that particular destination. That's why the report is particularly titled also Reflections, Analysis, and the Lessons That We've Learned. But the aim, I think, is to try and ensure that we facilitate for better discussion around how better do we manage the issues that were raised during the hearings themselves. And then if you look at the configuration of the report, obviously, like as I indicated, the purpose is just to facilitate that particular discussion. And maybe recommendations that are very solid for each and every one of us in terms of how we should continue. But also, I thought of it as I was writing it to say it also needs to contribute towards the closer report in terms of, you know, what has happened throughout since we started with the process. And I think what one particular area that I must admit from the onset to say might find a bit honest and weak is the issue around the progress that is the team in the provinces has achieved, where there's been different reaction to this, and I think we'll discuss that, and it will be very useful for provinces to then begin to also give you a sense of how far we're going, because we haven't really got a sense of that report. So, like as I said, I mean, when you look at the point one, it's just the purpose, and I think I've explained that. But again, it's just to say to those that have not really been, because some of you have just only attended in your provinces, we have been all up, just to give you a sense of where we come from since the beginning. And again, I'm not going to touch on the format of the hearings, because these ones we all know, we've been touching on the performance of conditional grants, we've been looking at the intergovernmental relations, and then we've been looking at a number of things, including our service delivery. When you look at page 5, in terms of the scope that we've covered, and I think that's just to give an overall picture, to also understand how much the contribution has been. In overall, I'm saying that there's been about 8 human faculties chairs that were visited since December, and that's starting from Eastern Cape. And when you try and calculate it, you'll find that it's about 29% of the total municipalities in the country that were visited. And out of those, if you look at it, you'll find that when we try and look at the classifications that were made through the MFMA, you'll find that 10 falls within the low capacity, 24 medium capacity, and 48 in the high capacity. The table on page 6 just tries to break it down in terms of showing you exactly which municipalities, for those that might have not been there, that have been visited. So that it is when you speak about the progress, it is important for us to then focus and understand which municipalities are there within which particular province. I've also indicated the day that we've been there, and then right at the end, just trying to give that particular analysis in that respect. So these are the manufacturers that we think, as you give input, it's also important to try and keep yourself within that. But coming to the critical part, which is more the analysis in terms of the findings, it does to give assurance that, I mean, as we are going along throughout the whole 8 provinces, and again, taking the aspect of your budget performance, it's quite very clear that and again, the issue around whether the municipality is a low capacity, whether the high capacity or medium, it doesn't work. In any case, you'll find that even those that are within the high capacity that are displaying characteristics that are really not acceptable as one would have been expecting from their side. So I'm saying, much as we have classified them in that respect, the outcome, what we're beginning to see is that all these municipalities, irrespective of their capacity, there are some low capacity municipalities that are doing better than the high capacity. There are the high capacity that the medium capacities that are doing more than the low capacities or the high capacity. So clearly, if you look at the budget performance, all of us would agree that what we're finding, obviously, I took all the presentations, I think, in terms of the method, all the presentations that have been made by a number of all the municipalities that were listed there, and tried and analyzed them, and I realized that what one then begins to find is that when coming to operational expenditure, especially with budget performance, that is the only area that you'll find that municipalities are spending quite high. And obviously that's augmented by salaries because of the high percentage of salaries that exist out there. So that's in the case. The finding, therefore, you'll find that the total operating budget, obviously, when compared to, I mean, to the salaries, that the contribution of salaries, in average, when I looked at all those municipalities, we're starting from 38% and sometimes reaching the high of 58% of the total operating budget. And again, the trend, I guess I'm saying, there is quite a very high level of grant dependency, which when I analyze and put them on average, you start realizing that about 45% about the grant dependency sits at around 45% on average in terms of all the municipalities that you've done. And really, the equitable trust plays a very more significant role in terms of sustaining this municipality. The other area concerning, I mean, which we find dominant in the whole presentations is the issue around the understanding of capital expenditure. Budgets and that remained quite throughout, and obviously when one looked at it, looking at the information on the table, we realized that at the end of the day, these municipalities that were visited, almost all of them are also dependent on the municipal infrastructure class, which is the mix, and we see very little of own revenue that is coming in that respect. So I think that's just saying to all the provinces, this is the kind of the way that things are beginning to see. But also, in terms of the district with no water and sanitation functions, it appears that when we look at the data, mostly it's locals that are really very fed up with regards to this particular area. Because many of the districts are dependent on RSC replacement levy. So all what they've been owed is quite very little compared to what the locals are really being owed. And when you look at the repairs and maintenance, I think we all agree that the repairs and maintenance is a very significant issue. And I always say that when you look at all these calamities that are happening around water contamination and this and that, it's not the new assets that we're creating through the MIG now. It's all the old assets that has been there that are not being maintained. So I'm saying whether we're raising an issue of saying that let's put operation and maintenance within MIG itself and whether we put it outside, it's not an issue. I think the issue is to say this matter of operation and maintenance becomes quite a very big issue. But one other area that you would observe is that these municipalities are receiving the water service operating subsidy. You find that somebody receives about 40 million from DOC, but that 40 million you don't see it within the budget the same year. So you'll find that the operation and maintenance cost or budget for the maintenance cost is quite very little. I mean, somebody put 10 or 5 million instead of the 40 million or 20 million that has been given through the water service operating subsidy. So then it means that money goes somewhere else, which I don't think, as we were saying to DOC, to say it's important for them to also understand and pursue the budget processes to understand as to whether the money that we are putting, is it really used? If we say this money for maintenance, is it what is reflecting in the budget for maintenance, rather than waiting for the report from that time? And I still, again, on the issue around the budget performance, clearly we have seen situations whereby the investment, the disclosure of the investment is not quite very often done in a manner that would satisfy. You'll find that in some cases, I mean, parties looking for money, but while they still have some investment, I mean, we know of a typical example of the colleagues from Limpopo, where there's over 100 million in the investment portfolio, but that money, you know, is not being used for purposes intended. But on the other side, we see municipalities that are generating, you know, interest out of this investment, but we don't see what's going in regards to that, and that has been common in relation to this. So again, one other issue that we need to all appreciate the issue around the performance on conditional grants. Obviously, we're trying to jack up and assist these municipalities around the conditional grants, but what we're going to find is that in terms of all these grants, the trend has always been that, you know, when you go there, like we've been somewhere in Mpumalanga in May, all the presentations, when I look at the presentation in May, I realize that the presentation at that time, the performance on grants was not 100%, was about 40-60%. And that was in May. But when you look at June, already the whole 70 million or the whole amount has been spent. How is it possible that within a short space of time that money is spent without commitment having been made even before? So I think those particular kind of things are issues that in terms of performance of conditional grants, there are matters that we need to really, we've picked up as the findings in this regard. But also, like as I'm saying, you realize that slow spending, but down the line it picks up at around, you know, your March and May, or at March, between March and June. Or May and June, you'll find that the expenditure becomes quite a very, very high or balanced, even to a cent at some point. The biggest challenge facing us as departments that are transferring is again, the quality of the spending, which I think we need to think about it down the line at the end of this presentation to say, how do we deal with matters that relate to the fact that the municipalities that have spent so much, but obviously when we go there, we don't find what has to happen, what has been happening with that particular grant. So the point I'm raising here is the issue around the challenge of verifying the quality of the spending, which I think is the next level in terms of if we deal with methods of recommendations. So how do we deal with as a province, also as national, how do we then qualify that we spend 95% and the money has been used for the correct purpose? On intergovernmental relations, so you remember on the issue around IDP and PGDS is that you have always ruled out in all the provinces that people must not come and say the IDP is aligned with the PGDS. Because what we're beginning to see is the incongruence in terms of the evidence that cannot be produced in terms of saying, yes, this is where the alignment is. And I think you've seen that in the first day where the evidence was required, but it was quite very not provided for it, as to say, when you make a statement that the IDP is aligned with the PGDS, what in practical terms are we talking about? And a number of municipalities are unable to really put that particular thing forward, except that they've received the PGDS and, of course, try and juxtapose it against the RDPs themselves. So, again, the commitment, which is the bigger issue in terms of the national and provincial departments, and I think this is a reflection that, you know, what we're finding is that number of commitments that have been made, some municipalities will find that those commitments have not been gazetted, or others they have been gazetted, some municipalities might have not known that those particular kind of grants or funding has been made available, especially from other departments that are, you know, executing some of the projects on behalf of these municipalities. So also we're saying that you'll find that commitments are reflected in the budget while there is no, you know, understanding as to say whether this money will be received or not. And some municipalities are forced to then adjust downwards because of the wrongfully put the commitments that were not necessarily compliant into their budget. And with regard to compliance with municipal finance management act, as we're looking at it, obviously all the municipalities, there's no municipality that came and said, we don't have the supply chain management committees in place. All of them would indicate to us that they have put all these supply chain management committees in place. And I think the key challenge for all of us is to say, how do we deal with the issue of functionality of those committees? Because you can see really the perpetuation of such kind of legacy happening down the line as you link in terms of the underspending. Because if the underspending is associated to meat, most of the reason we're getting from meat is the supply chain. Why the supply chain while you have this particular supply chain management committee? And again, on the annual financial statements, many of the municipalities, yes, granted, they say that they submitted. But when I look at the 82, says the 82 that we've visited, in terms of the submission of the 2007-08 financial statement, we're only registering, there's about only 58 that submitted on time out of the 82 that were visited. So again, that is something that should trigger us in understanding that. And since we started, you know, we thought these are some of the kind of quick wins that we need to deal with in terms of making sure municipalities submit. So only 58, about 71% submitted by the 31st of August. And these are some of the municipalities that we said we need to go and deal with. So that's another matter to keep on in mind. And again, obviously, the 671 report, my colleague from Treasury, this, you realize that all the time, every municipality will say, no, we're sending our 671 report on time. And I think we've always been discussing the fact that to say, what is reflected in there, again, is the issue of the quality of the reports themselves, whether municipalities are really providing us with the correct information or the right information as to those things. That's why the publication, as it's issued out, sometimes is refuted by some of the municipalities in terms of saying, no, this is not the correct information that was supplied. But it appears throughout the province that in terms of the municipal, in terms of the internal audit function, this function is obviously not capacitated. And the conclusion that has been arrived to by every municipality is that once they employed one person as an internal auditor, they're done. They think that this thing is functional. How does that person deal with matters of risk management? How does that person deal with the issue around audit plans alone in a particular municipality? So, I think the establishment and neutralization of audit committees also needs some attention in that regard, because what we've seen is that particular trend that only one person, and I don't know how it reflects on the organograms, because that's where you find that there's only one person, and one person cannot do all the things that are supposed to be done against the report that we're seeing from the auditor general. On service delivery, I think number of areas that we've been touched on is the electrification, mostly roads, water and sanitation, banknotes, but obviously, in contrast of slow spending, we will find that municipalities are raising the issues around more allocations and say we need more money. But again, you start realizing that if you need more money and you can't spend what you have, that's another dilemma that I think we need to grapple with as provinces and nationally. But again, we'll find that most municipalities are unable to borrow for infrastructure on the account that they are currently servicing inherent loans or lack of borrowing capacity. Many of the municipalities are telling us that this is a legacy loan that we have. But on the other side, again, they are not, having that capacity to borrow at that particular point. So another emerging element is that we'll find that the government partners say we are giving pre-basic services to every board. And while giving that to every board, they will claim to be saying that we're giving 6 kiloliters and 50 kilowatts per hour of electricity to everyone, and whether you are indigent or non-indigent. And I think the impact of this is that, obviously, they end up saying that the budget is not enough because you are taking the money that was supposed to be given to the indigenous, you are spreading it across every board. And I think the implementation of the indigenous process, for me, has been one issue that we need to take care of, because what happens is that there is also a challenge of updating of indigenous registers. Many of them, you would have seen that, you'll find that municipality has got so many households, but when you look at the registered indigenous, you find that it's about 2,000 people that have been, or households that have been registered. You ask yourself that the subsidy that goes to these people, I mean, if you look at 2,000 multiplied by the subsidy, it doesn't even make a fraction of that. And where that's where we're missing the congruency between, you know, the level of indigenous, because also indigenous registration also has, it's one of the elements that has been used in terms of determining how much money should really be given, especially with regard to the equity worship. I think that trend is one trend that we've observed throughout the presentation, that there's a low indigenous number, indigenous numbers, but you'll find that everybody can therefore get, in compensation for that, everybody gets, you know, a free basic 6 kiloliter, 6,000 kiloliter, and 50 kilowatts per hour in terms of electricity. So, on capacity constraints, I didn't spend much time on this one, because obviously all what we've seen from the presentation, when I map up the presentations, I realized that many of them, they are talking about financial resources as an issue. We need more money, we need more money, and to address this, to address the infrastructure backlog, and also fund services. But again, one of the key issues has been the issue of, that we must take seriously, the issue around the retention of skills and also the ability to attract staff. And I think the issue around the deployees, I can tell you there is that growing dependency towards making sure that we use the deployees, and which is fine. But what we are going to see is that we're going to find a situation whereby municipalities are then beginning to not build their own capacity but rely on the capacity that is being deployed. But once those particular people are retrieved back, what then happens? We go back to square one. And really, it could even be worse, because people would then start to say, no, it's not us, it's that employee that has been deployed here. So again, the issue around the capacity building role of national, provincial, and government and other institutions. Obviously, the capacity varies. And I remember, sir, we were sitting somewhere down here some other time, you were asking each and every province as to they have the enough capacity to address some of these issues. And many of the municipalities, all of them have said, yes, we do have that particular capacity. All the provinces have said. But when you look at it, I think some of the questions that were raised during the hearings was that, when last did you see this municipality? Because that is an indicator to say, if you spend a 3-month cycle without having not seen one municipality, it shows that we don't have the capacity to reach that municipality. So I think we need to learn from other models that we need to look at. Because the fact of the matter is that the number that exists, looking at, you'll find that the province has got 45 or 30 municipalities, but you only have 2 people that are dealing with this process. How do these people complement in terms of making sure that this happens? But again, I was just raising the issue around the Development Bank of South Africa in terms of their support and the young professionals. And obviously, each and every municipality will tell you that we have 2 to 3 employees assisting in the technical and financial department. The challenge is that it relates to the support dependency. And what it does is weakens the skills transfer
environment.
The vacancies exist. Many of your, many municipalities have said these are vacancies. In order to complement for those vacancies, they put the deployees. And where is the deployee going to transfer the skills to? And therefore, that becomes another gap that I think it will create a problem down the line when we really continue with it, because it's not sustainable. In terms of skills development, say you always raise the issue around section 68 of the municipal system charge. And in that regard, you will realize that many of the municipalities are not exploring that opportunity of going to them. But obviously, much as they have to do that, many of them are not adhering to the Israel skills development plan, because you need to have skills development plans in order for you to then begin to facilitate for that particular process. And again, the contribution to the CETA in terms of the skills development levy is also critical. And I think that's one other area that, you know, we need to also begin to see, since we then try and look at the issues of capacity building on skills development, how are municipalities structured in terms of their skills development plan? Are they really implementing those, or paying levy, as it has been said, that 1% is too late to pay? I think that those are mostly the reflections in terms of trying to say to all of you, in terms of those that might have not attended other provinces, to say, you know, these issues have been emerging, and this is where we come to bringing them at that particular level. And some of the lessons that we've learned, obviously, the issue around the credibility of the budget has been consistently really very weak in that regard. I mean, we've been to all the provinces, the figures are not, and the budgets themselves are not really realistic and sustainable. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we're faced with. And this might also require that, you know, as provincial departments and local governments, I mean, we need to double our capacity to analyze and provide just in time. And I'm raising the issue of just in time input, because one of the key things that Vincent will remember is that as we look at these things, it also reflects on us to say, if we then start to see during the hearings that this budget is like this, why should we see it that time? We should have seen it before when we were doing the analysis of this budget. But again, I'm just saying that the issue around the just-in-time input is quite very critical, because some parties are beginning to raise the fact that we submit the budget, we don't receive the input on time, and we continue in terms of the process. And this, again, what is key is the collaboration between the two key provincial departments, local government and provincial government. The issue that we've seen is that where there are joint plans, things are working quite very well, because then those joint plans are what getting to be implemented in that regard. But we're not harnessing enough, for me, the resources in terms of saying, you'll find that the vacancies that exist in a provincial treasury and in a local government is the particular number. But when you have local government having a joint plan with treasury, you have 10 people this side, you have 10 people this side. Though there are vacancies, maybe from the establishment is 2020, but you have 10. But I think if we pull together those resources and work together, it will really help us, because it's the same municipality that we'll be visiting. It's the same budget that we'll be analyzing. It's the same municipal manager that we'll be talking to. So it is very important that I think one of the key lessons that we need to learn is to say, without that collaboration, we are all going to really be moving in different directions. And the potential of that is that you'll end up finding that, in particular, a particular provincial department will move this side and the other provincial department will move that side. So we're going to find ourselves maybe sometimes in a situation where we might conflict in terms of the roles down the line. And in terms of the IDCs, again, I mean, one of the things is that we could lose the integrated meaning of this particular thing, because all what we're finding is that people are sending junior officials in the process. But again, that being the case, it is important to ensure that if there is no participation of sector departments, we need to find a mechanism in terms of how we do that. Because that integratedness meaning, or the integrating meaning, we'll really lose it. We'll just be left with the development plans as such, without really them being integrated. And I think one of the key lessons is funding is not always a problem, as touted by many of the municipalities. But the capacity to manage those funds. I mean, if a municipality comes to you and says, look, I need funding, while it's just for the investment, cost so much, then you say that the problem is funding. The problem cannot be funding in that regard. I mean, we've seen also in terms of MSIG and other grants that there's quite that understanding that happens. So probably maybe funding is not an issue. Maybe it's an issue of dealing with matters that relate to your capacity and so on. But again, in terms of 6.5, we're saying that for as long as provincial departments of local government do not take leadership in coordinating municipal support and creating a platform for other players to play, the impact of the oversight that we're doing here is not going to be very permanent. And we're not going to see anything. It's not going to sustain in any case. Because once you leave, we go back into our mode. And that's basically, you know, it's not going to work. That's something we're not going to be able to sustain. But I think if this is where you put us to start, let's start there and continue and make sure that we try and fast-track some of these areas that we need to deal with. There's also the issue around the intra-district collaboration and the resources integration contribute successfully to the development of municipal capacity. And then I'm trying to indicate the case of Ngangala in terms of how they are harnessing, you know, the whole district in terms of working towards common things. And that in itself is an area that we need to encourage people to understand how that model, how those six people are doing it in terms of the intra-district collaboration where the municipalities are consistent. If they get an unqualified, you find that, you know, the other municipalities are not bad. You find that they're really moving towards and they're targeted to make sure that all of the municipalities receive that particular kind of an unqualified body. So I think it is one of the things that I think this is a lesson that we need to really take home and say, how do we deal with strengthening the intra-district collaboration in that regard? But again, the other issue is that what we're finding is that the councillors need to be capacitated to perform oversight functions. I'm saying in order to sustain these processes, if councillors don't care about what Section 71 report says, Vincent was telling me some of them didn't even attend some of these budget and expenditure reviews that are taking place throughout the country. And what is that? I mean, it means that their interest is really withdrawn in terms of understanding how their finances and the performance is going. So just touching on the progress per province, I'm saying that what we also done as a department was just to facilitate that each and every province from the DBSA side, as we were saying to DBSA, you can't just be deployed to the local municipalities. Also the capacity of the province is important. Let's try and see how we give every chief is one financial expert and some few professionals. And we agreed on 1 in 5 young professionals for provinces to take up in order to coordinate. Because the other thing that is missing is that I don't know how many provinces can tell you how many deployees are there in the province in their municipality. It's another challenge because we don't know. They are deploying alone. They are deploying. Province is not aware in terms of which deployments are where. Every time we are reacting in terms of how much of the deployees are having in that regard. So I think it was important to try and make sure that each and every province understands how many deployees are there and what are they doing and where are they. So that when we also try and see where support, we support even that particular environment to make sure that we don't even duplicate in that respect. In this case, I think that as I said, we visited Kreka and Numan King Sawata, and I think this municipality has been I think the province has done well in terms of putting together the framework, and they've identified the 16 municipalities. I think in terms of priority for support, and they've included this municipality as part of that process. And obviously, I think the province would add in terms of what has been achieved. But many, in terms of those three municipalities, what I know is that the number of cases, when we got there were so many vacancies, 657 managers vacancies. So for now, I think that progress that has been made. That's what I'm saying. We haven't got actually a clear report from the Eastern Cape in terms of saying this is half our time. That's what I'm thinking. The province will then give a sense. And it applies in terms of all the province. So the other issue is around in terms of housing. I mean, housing, we've done them in December, like I have given the date there, and we haven't really got a comprehensive report, and I think the colleagues would have actually done the report, but it couldn't reach us, and I think also there's a procedure that some provinces are following that they can't release information to us except when it's, you know, it's been going through certain channels, and then again, those channels sometimes it took long. So, but what they assured me is that the report was done, but it could not be sent to us so that we can consolidate, because it has to go through the process, which is understandable from where we're sitting to say, let it be sanctioned also, if that is the point. So in terms of Limpopo, I think since the hearings, what happened is that, and remember this hearing happened in July, but immediately after that there was a meeting that was convened, and all the parties were, they were all enthusiastic about how we can deal with the thing, and there was a clear plan that was developed. What I know is that the report I got, you know, in paper was that all the municipalities, there's been two things that have been done more clarity, Chairperson. The issue around the budget analysis, all the budget has been analyzed to try and look in terms of the credibility and so on, and actions that have been developed from that angle. And secondly, you know, the issue of the organogram. The organizational structures, have seen all the inputs that have made that they're working on the organizational structures. They've been reviewing them throughout. And those are the two major tasks that has happened, obviously, in terms of Limpopo. So that's what I'm saying. In terms of specific municipalities, I think the province will then be in a position to give us a sense as to what has happened. Also, in relation to Northwest, we met in immediately after the hearing, and there was kind of a discussion which included the district, and the joint plan was developed, and I think they would also provide progress in relation to that. But what I know is that actually some number of municipalities have already received some support that is related to the issues that have been raised. All this is work in progress, obviously. KZN, I mean, just in September, there hasn't yet been a follow-up program that has been crafted in terms of the, you know, the parties and the team coming together. And also Northern Cape, I think since we've been there in August, for me, my understanding is that there's been just one meeting that took place. And on the other side, the leadership, I must say, that of the, you know, provincial local government hasn't really been very visible enough to facilitate for this. I'm not sure in terms of what has happened, because I know there's been a number of meetings and requests that have been made, but seemingly there's nobody to take ownership and leadership of this issue. So I can rest assure you, unless there is a different report that we get that says this is how all we've done. But if you find that, you'll find that each and every, you know, party says whatever I say. Provincial treasurer will say what they say, and then local government will say what they say. And I think that's not the spirit that we've been trying to encourage throughout the process itself. So on the Free State issue, obviously we've been in Free State in October. There's been a number of recommendations made. We are on track, obviously, to say we'll see what would unfold also in terms of the commitment of Free State to deal with some of the areas that we started to prioritize, like Yoma Chaling, the Pumalanga, and the analysis of Free State. On Pumalanga, again, I mean, the colleagues from local government were not there during the hearings, first of all. But I think the correspondence was sent to all the provinces to say this is the kind of a way that we want the report to take shape. So unfortunately, even in that regard, the provincial treasurer that was there could not really be in a position to provide at that time the necessary information as to how far we are in terms of that. So the coordination in terms of the follow-up program has not necessarily materialized, and therefore that's why we're unsure of the progress that might have taken place in that regard. So I think the good thing is that, as I said, as long as provinces are here, we are in a position to put this into perspective. But again, just to conclude to say, as I'm saying, when one was doing this report, looking at putting all this information of all these municipalities, was also trying to look at the reflection and also the lessons learned, and also beginning to say, that's why deliberately didn't put the recommendations, because I think just discussing this will then really bring us to a center stage. What needs to really happen in terms of dealing with this matter? But again, contributing to your overall report in terms of saying, since we started, you know, if anybody asks us or asks you, how far have you gone? I mean, this is how far we've gone, this is what we've learned. And anybody coming on board would really be in a position to read the report in that particular perspective. So I think that is how far I've tried to do the report.
Thank you, Willie. National Affairs, I think anything to that?
Maybe I would suggest that the provincial treasurer, you know, heads what the provincial said. But on the part of national treasurer, let me say that, you know, some of the failures that emerged during your engagement with the municipality are failures that, when I reflected on them, were our failures as national treasury and provincial treasury support municipalities as best as we could. I think we assume that the official municipal manager, chief finance officer, in all these municipalities know what is expected of them, and they know how to achieve all that. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, in terms of numbers, we can say municipalities do have the capacity, but in terms of competences, I'm afraid that those competences are lacking in municipalities. We don't engage with municipalities as much as we should be engaging with them. And as digital treasure, we have taken certain steps to ensure that issues that came up at this particular engagement do not come up again, as and when the committee engages with the municipality in the future. The issue of data, for example, we know that data are escalating, they're not coming down. Whatever improvements are made in terms of collecting, most of those improvements are not sustainable. What is said is that, yes, maybe the majority of our people cannot afford to pay for services that they receive. But we want to believe, and we notice, that government departments, provincial departments, have the means and the way we call to pay. But because they can get away with it, they do not pay for services that they have received from the municipality. And in most instances, the national treasurer, we wait for a municipality to say, hey, we are struggling to collect from this department, to collect from that department. And we react instead of being proactive. We've decided that we are going to be proactive. In fact, we have already done so. We have written all the municipalities to say that in their annual report, they must include not the total amount of money owed, not only the data as they are aged, but they must tell us who those data are in terms of the category, households, government departments, and so on, so that we can intensify our onslaught in a systematic manner in as far as government departments are concerned. We don't have to wait for a municipality to say, government department so-and-so is owing us. We should, without that municipality telling us, sit on, what do you call it, on the department concerned, and get that municipality to pay what is supposed to be paid. And we are hopeful that municipalities will cooperate in terms of giving us that information. The information that we get at this point in time is just data that are aged. So we really don't know who is owing how much and so on. But as I say, maybe there's very little that you can do in terms of the other debt that's owed by a household. But in terms of the debt that's owed by government departments, definitely we can do a lot in that regard. Then there's the issue of, highlighted by William here, of budgets not being aligned to IDP, of budgets not being credible, of revenue estimates not being realistic, of budgets not being fully funded, etc., etc. These are issues that came up. And as I said during the engagement, why are these issues being raised here when we're supposed to have done something about them? There were times when I felt like, just disappearing without having to leave the door, the hole would open and I would get in there. And I say that happened because, as provincial treasurer, we failed municipalities. 90 days before the end of the financial year, before the beginning of the new financial year, municipalities are supposed to table their what we call draft budget. What happens is that municipalities will come up with table budget that really looks like draft, very, very rough draft. That shouldn't be the case. Table budget should be as good as the one that is going to be adopted. And immediately that table budget is submitted to provincial treasury and national treasury, we do that in national treasury. And I'm not sure where it happens with the provincial treasury. Immediately after that budget is tabled, the budget has to be assessed, has to be reviewed and analyzed, thoroughly analyzed. And the issues that emanate from there should be documented in a letter that is given to a municipality of feedback. But that is not good enough. That's not enough. What must happen is the municipality, provincial treasurer, national treasurer, must go and engage the municipality physically, in a meeting, one-on-one. The municipality side, the provincial treasurer side, not all the municipalities in the same room, just the municipality concerned, on the table budget and the issues that emanated from that table budget. And an agreement must be reached that those issues will be addressed before the budget is tabled. And we should also give ourselves an opportunity of attending one or two of public consultation meetings on the table budget, so that we can hear the issues that come out from the community and see if those issues are in the IDP and if they have been, taken care of in the budget. One would say that would be enough, but we still say no, that's not enough. After the table budget has been adopted, at National Treasury we decided that we will visit the municipality for the second time to engage it on the adopted budget. True, there's very little that we can do to change the budget, but we can say, colleagues, we agree that these are the issues that we need to address before this table budget, before this table budget is adopted. But they haven't been addressed. 1, 2, 3 issues are still there. Why is that the case? That must be documented. The municipality must be given a letter to that effect that these issues, you were advised to address the issues, and you were advised to say that if you cannot give me assistance, we could come in and support you in that regard. But you haven't done that. Why? And we must get an answer from a response from the municipality. That would be the second engagement. The third engagement should be before municipalities come up with an adjustment budget. That is just after the mid-year performance and budget review in January. Immediately after they've come up with that review, we must come in and engage the municipality on that. And whatever issues emanate from that engagement, those issues must be taken into consideration when an adjustment budget is, finalized. And then, of course, we must also engage with the municipality on an ongoing basis based on their Section 71 report. They do send us the report, and most of them are happy that they have sent the report. However, they are smart in the respect that they know that we don't read this report. They can send us the same report over and over again by merely changing, only merely changing the date. However, we begin to indicate to them that we do read this report. We pick up the phone and say, "Amen. I'm going to send you this report again and on the issues that I think are not correct, and please respond. But if you are to say they are correct, please change your signature. Verify, well verify this information." If they know that you do go over this report, you know, then the games that they play is indeed their games of sending us the same report over and over again, nearly changing the date. Those games will come to an end. You know? They will realize that we are serious. We are serious not in terms of, you know, penalizing them, but in terms of supporting them. So, on our part, I want to believe that if we do all these things, the stories that you will get when you engage with municipalities next time will be more substance, of a better substance than what you hear. That's all I'm saying. And I'm saying all these things are not things that I'm talking about here, are things that we are already doing. Better than
I totally agree with you. And
I totally agree with what Vincent has been saying. I'm sort of in agreement with the report that William has just presented, except for the fact that some of the issues are more or less, you know, national treasury competencies, but obviously we have to collaborate and work with each other in improving the budget of the municipalities. As national treasury, with regard to the visits to the provinces, we have submitted the comprehensive report, which included municipalities that we visited, plus other municipalities within the province. So we've got the report for Limpopo, we've got a report for Northwest. There will be other reports from other provinces that will be forthcoming. They're just waiting for approval from the minister. With regard to the analysis of the budget, for instance, especially with regard to the municipalities that we visited, we did some capacity building exercises with the provincial treasurers where we gave them, as Vincent has outlined, how they should engage with the municipalities. Okay.
Okay, let's then welcome the Honorable MEC of Local Government in Western Cape. What's up? So I'm transferring you immediately, sorry. And thank you really for honoring this meeting. Now, in the Eastern Cape, we met three municipalities, as it is said. We really did not meet many. So can you, of course I see you got a big team, but I'm also happy with the I know that we were told, and in fact I know Mr. Sokoli went to some meetings and was invited to some meetings where the progress, the process was taken forward just to ensure that in particular these three municipalities were getting better. I'm not talking about the other one, I'm talking about the three. What is the state of affairs now? What do we want to look at? Whether we are winning the battle, if we are not winning the battle, what extra measures is put in place to go back to the same criminal municipality? Over to MEC and your chief.
Very much, Chair. Good morning to all. Indeed, we are privileged to be part of this session, because I think all of us, we are looking into how we can sustain what we are doing such that it can be lent and shared amongst the rest of the municipality. if I may start with Nyuma, and I will make some references just generally in terms of what you are doing. What we did, Chair, we assessed our support in terms of supporting municipalities and the department, and we're saying it depicts an ad hoc arrangement where we come in when there's something and put in whatever capacity and belief. So it can't really follow up and see whether that would be accepted before. And therefore, we developed what we call a municipal support and intervention framework, wherein we categorize our municipalities and we identified what form of support needs to come in that is in a way integrated and looking into all aspects that would at the end turn around the situation and municipalities to come in. And the three municipalities, because we had through this program and the report that was given, we had participated in. We thought we need to sustain that and see what then can we do as a department. If I may start, therefore, with it, we looked into issues of governance. And we then, together with the partnership with UNDP, set aside an amount of 1.5 million, wherein we looked into deploying the experts there in the fields of engineering, project management, financial management, e-governance, and capacity building. And we also added some private sector role players. And part of what they added support to the municipality was on updating and maintaining it, the indigent register. And to date, the intervention has been in various areas, therefore in the municipality, where it has managed to develop comprehensive infrastructure plan, that maintenance that I've indicated of the indigent registers, policy development, internal control, risk management, anti-corruption strategy, training and development of information systems, risk analysis, electronic database, and disaster management and evaluation. So it brought in a comprehensive kind of support that was funded by each department. And also DPS has been a part of assisting. We have for instance, in the Great Kai municipality, if I may move to Great Kai Chair, that we've moved forward also identifying certain areas of engagement, because building from what we had identified earlier, so built in a similar intervention where they identified the areas, funded the areas of intervention and looking into issues, additional of your financial viability, internal controls, mapping and all that. And also putting in some infrastructure projects within the municipality. And with your King Sabata Daniebo municipality, I think when you were there, you were introduced to an extensive kind of support where we are about to get in Section 139, because having been supporting the municipality over the period, we could see why support that we were rendering was in fact not really bought in that much, and therefore was not having the results that we were expecting. Commitment by the leadership of the municipality and continuous non-feeling of critical of and other governance issues there. But up to this stage, Chair, a lot of progress has been done in the very same municipality to provide this report that has got all the details in terms of governance issues, where all what the committees are functioning, with CTWs deployed throughout, and even in the areas of the introduction of the Section 139, we are at a stage where we have since felt that would not go ahead with that section, because now there's a lot of commitment and cooperation in terms of the support that we've provided. And ultimately, if you remember that in the Eastern Cape, we have a turnaround plan of the government currently. And in sustaining what we've been doing in the municipality, KST is also part of the turnaround plan, because we want to ensure that ultimately we're able, not only on the smaller interventions that we are engaged in, but how best can we put in major anchor projects that are linked to the provincial plan, such that we are able to tackle some of the issues there, because some of the issues that they are confronted of the municipal viability that make the municipality have unrealistic budget could only be tackled if there are interventions of that kind. So, Chair, there is quite a tremendous progress in these municipalities, and for us, we have some best practices that we are able to pick from those municipalities that we are able to replicate on the other, and showing also stability that is there to say when you intervene in these municipalities, you must also see that element which would enhance an environment where the support would then work. Thank you.
Any comments on the tree? Look, it does look promising. We're happy, but the only thing I do want to check, our national department still meeting with you, because that's one of the critical issues. As you are raising all of these things, we do not want the support to be, whilst you are the lead department, in other words. I think the second thing is that I want to raise, are you sitting jointly with your provincial treasury? Are national departments coming when you call them? Because that's one of the things we want to hammer and hammer. And this is the reason why we call all of yourselves here now. Because also we want to hammer yourself between provincial and local governments. But also we can't do that if you're not cooperating yourselves. Is there some collaboration between you? Because we don't want you as local government to lead this process alone. You identify these things, you must also identify the funding sources. And so provincial treasury must be part of that. But secondly, the national departments must be part of the discussion. Are they also part of all the engagement, Madam? And is the colleague has another question?
I think it would be good if the weaknesses identified by William in his report, like the supply chain management, as well as the internal audit, if those elements are well looked after and activated.
You want us to comment on how we use? I just saw the ABC. No, I'll get that.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I can say without really getting into specific national departments, that we've since activated MUNIMEC in the province, and there is enthusiasm and commitment by all municipalities to that structure. That is where we are able to deliberate on those issues, and we are able to invite the respective national departments as and when there are issues. It has taken effect even more than the PCF level of engagement and committal on how do we work together has really improved. Chair, we have really moved a very positive ground with our provincial treasurer. We had identified our parallel going into municipalities as a challenge. But now, in the turnaround plan that we have the same team. Where treasurers come in into a municipality, we only come in on the other particular capacity that is required. So perhaps if we may present the turnaround plan that you have, you would really see, because looking into some of the areas that you've identified, for instance, if you look into the financial management aspect, treasury, it is very clear what is it that they are doing in those areas and what is it that is not attended to such that you are able to put it in. So it addresses all your SCM and your internal audit issues that you find in all the municipalities that you are.
Right, just to say for everybody who has this report of the Eastern Cape, on page 6, under the Eastern Cape there, there's a municipality called under medium Sakatu. We can tell you now that, one, the municipality is rural and poor. But it is the only, it is amongst the only municipalities that have been unqualified audit of Kenya. I'm raising this because it is possible, it can be done. And so I'm raising it again because we really engage brutally with this municipality, but again, the commitments that are raised by the MEC have shown some positive results now. And of course, the report she was also raising, because we are also in constant touch with the municipality. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It is very, very much possible. Right. Okay. Quickly, just tell us. Are we swimming or swimming? Don't worry about putting in on and off the slide. Quickly tell us. Oh, you don't have copies? All right. If you don't have copies, let's, while somebody is still putting up something. And let me then go to, you see, the apologies that really worry me. Just leave the judgment out here. Let me see to them. I don't want you to go through all of these six reports of yours. It's just to highlight whether we're winning or not in terms of the seven responses that you're talking about. Right, whilst you are doing what you are doing, Zimbabwe, what can I like that?
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. If I can just comment briefly on the input made by both local government and National Treasury. Jefferson, I think we've mentioned this on a number of occasions. What we would assist us quite substantially. We have a very good relationship. Let me just start by saying that the relationship between ourselves and local government in Limpopo has improved substantially. But I think what would be of benefit to all of us nationally would be a relationship that would be created between National Treasury and the Department of Local Government nationally, and that get drilled down. That would assist us quite substantially. The other issue, Chairperson, is that of the Section 31 reports that are received at the end of every month, which is similar to the IYM, we this month received 12 out of the 25 municipalities that we have, and the other 5 are district municipalities. So we need to clarify our role as a provincial treasury. What often happens is that a local municipality will submit their 671s and just send it straight to National Treasury, nothing comes to us. And then we expect it to do a whole lot of things. So those are the kind of things that that we need to clarify quite clearly. Chesterton, as far as the section within Treasury is concerned, we have got more warm bodies, and we are of the opinion, and I think time will tell, that we will definitely improve our assistance to our municipalities. Chair, we do have the challenge, and as you mentioned, the one municipality within the Eastern Cape that's rural that is able to get an unqualified report. We have a number of very low capacity municipalities in Limpopo, and maybe we should be looking at a bigger picture, Chairperson. And that bigger picture is that are we going to continue having to, or are these municipalities going to continue relying on the equitable share, or are we going to really be looking at some way of making these municipalities function on their own? It's something that we are discussing at length within Limpopo, because we do believe there are opportunities to try and create some revenue for these various municipalities. There will never be a revenue base there, Chairperson. I think it's something that we need to be quite clear on. Either we must look at demarcation and make these municipalities bigger, but some of the municipalities within Limpopo, you can't make them bigger.
Stop getting into that discussion.
Okay, Chair.
Discussion.
Thank you. So what do you say? Sorry, Chair. I apologize.
Somebody was saying in the first room, let's establish the municipality. It's a big issue. The problem is the municipality exists.
Precisely.
How do we ensure that it's sustained on a daily basis?
Correct, Chairperson. And that's precisely what we're engaging with. And Chairperson, just very briefly, one thing that we're having discussions about is that to generate services, these rural municipalities, and one of them, you know, in some regions in Limpopo, we have, of the 52 weeks of the year, only 2 weeks are cloudy, the rest the sunshine. So maybe we should be looking at generating electricity. Those are the kind of things that we are looking at, and we are having serious discussions about whether that is particularly possible. So to sustain a municipality is something that we think is essential, Chairperson.
I think you must cock up because I'm going to ask you a question now. And I'll ask this question to local government of your province. When was your last meeting between yourselves and the provincial treasurer in respect of dealing with this program of assisting municipalities? Were you preparing for this meeting? What were you discussing?
Just the red button.
Okay, we're discussing about Makuti Kamaha. Remember Makuti Kamaha, it just means to have a team when you were down there. They started first by saying slightly demand, and the acting MM indicated that he was alone, they were not section 57. So as a department of local government and housing, we have forwarded staff to ADA to assist them with the...
And so you have
because the issue then is, we have helped them to reconcile the past month, and we said to them, first July, to do it on your own. They are not doing it anymore. So I was saying to them, we need to come up with some way of trying to make sure that they do it, because they are going to withdraw. And it goes back to that issue that was raised by me to say, there are no hands to hold. You give hands on support, but there's nobody to...
What is it that you want to raise about? Do you want us to go back in there? Our national department is assisting you in the endeavor.
Yes, they are assisting, especially from the
DPO
side.
Well, they can be developed. We had an old team that was assembled there. You see, what we want to do is to ensure that everybody stays there long.
Okay.
And so we want to know those people.
So
if people are not coming, this is why I'm raising the question. Do you think that we need to go back to that province again? Call the same national department or call them right here and say, but you're not playing your role in the government.
No, not necessarily, because the very various entities to resolve what is at any time.
Now, there's also a problem that in fact came to us after the, I am not going to steal Makum Tama, that is a funeral parlor. Now, I think it's another that you must also deal with, because we don't think, while, you see, it's kind of sentimental, I'm not sure why they want to deal with the funeral parlor, because they want to raise funds and so on and so on, I'm not sure. Surely it is not the core business of the municipality. That's one matter that must be dealt with in that respect. Okay. All right. That's the important. By the way, I'm also happy because the report shows that you are collaborating for Professor. I was just checking. And just continue with that kind of the collaboration. We are happy. And whilst counting is still working very hard. Northwest. Don't worry. Northwest. What happened? There's a mic somewhere. If you don't have a mic, you can come forward here.
I was just taking my breath because I said that I. I am Buthale Mofokeng from the Department of Local Government in the Northwest Province. I'm still setting up myself.
Okay.
Thank you. I take the direction that I need to be brief and not present a thick report. The report is there for circulation. I'll go through the presentation. Let me just paint the context in important. It's just progress. It's fine. Okay, on the progress in Gauteng, we have conducted a summit jointly with Gauteng Treasury on the state of municipal finance, and where we have come up with a program, and we're reporting against that program. The details of that is in the package. In terms of our partnership with Gauteng Treasury and our support to municipalities, I think we have a concerted and a programmatic approach to supporting municipalities.
Don't generalize. In Gauteng, we met Mukeng Tataimani, Sipiling, Lesedi, Midval, Kumwini, Mohale, and Fuling. What is the state of affairs there? Do you know?
Yes. Generally, in these municipalities, our view is that in Oheng,
you already misunderstood what you were doing. We were in that problem. We met the municipality. And of course, they had a problem, except me. Now, if you want some little caucus with your own colleague, I've said, let me again make them Mkhale City. You can trust a lot of them. Because if you want to report about this, you might want to communicate and phone some of your colleagues in your province while you will proceed with another province, because you don't seem, we don't want your views. We want to know, you've heard what the MEC was saying about the municipalities she was talking to, but there is movement forward. You've heard Limbombo, that they've told us what was going on, and so that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, thank you.
We're not here to
things, Chair. I think we've prepared a general program report. So we'll caucus and give you some feedback. Sure.
In the meantime, then, take northwest. Lafayette. Northwest, it is Rustenburg, Nikwatemani, Twain, Southern District, Kaunda, Dr. Rostum Vaj Mamusa, Ditobota, Mamusere Muila, Mamusele Naledi, Kakisan, or Friends of the Mapas.
Yes, 16 of them.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I will give my report in terms of the 5 KPA because the issues that were raised, according to our understanding, cut across the 5 KPAs. I think the burning issues in terms of transformation and all this is your disabota, President of Naledi. As colleagues would recall, we have a 139 already at disabota. It is in its third month as we speak. We've been able to deploy an acting MM and a CFO, and with the partnership that we have with CBSA, we've been able to deploy a financial expert and a YP that are in Disabota on a daily basis. And unfortunately, though we have been able to shortlist for Disabota in terms of trying to appoint an MM for some reasons that are beyond me, which are political, those interviews haven't been held to date. Equally, the CFO post has been advertised, but to date we haven't been able to fill that position, as I say, due to reasons that are beyond me. Even at Centersdorf, we have interviewed for an MM, but till to date, the candidates that were recommended haven't been appointed. And just on Tuesday, we had a full day's meeting at Centersdorf, and we've been made to understand by the political and administrative leadership there that they are going to headhunt for an MM. With respect to Naledi, the MM just resigned, and there is an acting MM equally. It's for political reasons. The chair would recall that you had requested us to go in there and try and look at organogram equally with the Federal of organograms. We went in there with Salga, and we have realized that despite our proposals and advice to the council, they went ahead to adopt their overbloated organogram, which is unimplementable because they do not have the budget to run with that organogram. But as I speak, we had a meeting with the MM and the executive director, corporate services, just last week, and they are going ahead. They are going to be placing people in that organogram, but we then advise them to actually have agreements in black and white with officials, because much as people are going to be given an indication that they are being placed in higher positions, they are not going to be able to pay those salaries. Going back to Friends of again, Chair, we are still facing a very serious problem because this is just the first quarter, but the municipality is already in the red in terms of their finances. They've given you your dollar allocations to pay their salaries, most unfortunately, but that is the truth of the matter. In Swain, the CFO resigned in February, and in April, the post has been advertised, and equally, because of reasons that are beyond us, the post has not been filled. And we were requested equally to assist these municipalities that are struggling with the development of policies. I can report this house to say...
It's a second. Do you think you want us to go back again?
Your privileges, say, and immunities would give you direction, but we're trying our best, but there are political reasons that are beyond us.
No, because we must also address the political.
Yeah.
I think that's not allowed to pass it. The situation is messy. We've got to I think it's a good thing we convene this meeting, because clearly then the political element is problematic. So we've got to find a way, as we plan, to go to your problems. In fact, what this does gives us an opportunity to reflect on these issues that are important. Well, it means you might want to meet the very national leadership of the ANC and just tell them that then this kind of political flux is problematic. Clearly, there are problems in that respect. Comments, questions?
Honorable Chairperson, perhaps it is going to help us to realize that whatever may be happening in our department or whatever level, service to the people is of a great priority. That's why we say it's about our talents and it's people first. So then service to the people should not be compromised by our difference in any way. I agree with our other chairperson that we should look into what is happening and try and help as much as possible. Thank you.
Chairperson, I really agree with your analysis and the way you see the way forward. I'm not really surprised that much. You would remember that during the March 10 to 14, when we had the Parliament to the people, Northwest, we visited the Minister. I remember what transpired today. So, what I know that, I'm not surprised anyway. But I think, as you say, when we get there, we should be prepared in a way. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's the Northwest. Then, Paris, North Cup. Yeah, you've got.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, Chair, I'm
here to really report that the Christian team is in place for the mission. But continue with what we will need to do ourselves is to move the team before you become the more allies.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to disagree with my colleague from DPLG with regards to how the local government and provincial treasury not working together. But that's a matter that I will take up with him after. Okay, no.
Ask questions now. When last did you meet?
7th of October.
What are you discussing?
Exactly the 12 municipalities that we were now.
Were you preparing for this meeting?
We didn't know about this meeting by that time, but. Yes.
Can you give us a minute?
We can give you a minute, yes, Chair.
Good. Fine.
Chairperson, at that meeting, it was Housing and Local Government, Provincial Treasury, DPLG, and DWARF present at that meeting. It was Mr. Musa and Louisa Dean was there. Yeah. And before that, we had in August also a meeting discussing the 12 municipalities after our first initial meeting. Karoo Wagland, that is one of our problematic municipalities. The municipality was visited by Provincial Treasury and Housing and Local Government. It was decided that from Housing and Local Government's viewpoint, we will deploy people from the IDP 1 week per month to assist the municipality because the IDP is quite weak. Provincial Treasury is also assisting the local municipality and they assisted in compiling the budget, helping them with compiling the budget. DBSA has got a deployee there and they've also meeting in Kimberley that they will buy two computers and assist with software. That was done and training is happening. Unfortunately, the MM and CFO posts are still vacant. And Dwarf is also assisting through the water service capacity building program. Kamisberg, Dwarf has done the feasibility study because the water is a problem there, especially on the drinking quality of the water. The report will be forwarded to us. So far, we haven't received it. The local municipality hasn't been visited by the IDP team yet. They were not available when the team went there. The MEC for local government wants to establish a team to investigate the institutional arrangements of this local municipality, and DBSA is also struggling with the employees because it seems like the municipality is closing up. They're not including the employees, and that is problematic. There's not cooperation. Kamisberg, yeah. Chair, I'm not so sure. I think that might be the problem, yeah. I think also they might feel threatened that because the municipality is not very strong and the employee is complaining that he doesn't get informed about meetings and he's not involved and he's been trying and they excluded him.
The municipality has actually written to the MEC for local government where they were complaining about their financial situation. Hence, the MEC now wants to establish a team to go in. So we think the municipality, because of their financial situation, they are now beginning to open up.
Good idea, Jeff. Yes. The next one is Namakoi. It was also visited by Housing Local Government and Provincial Treasury. Provincial Treasury looked specifically at the juncture between the salary bill and service delivery, if you remember correctly. The following aspects were questions. The use of the 30% benchmark, the credibility of the budget and the deviation from the objective. The local municipality needs to increase its revenue base to balance the relationship between salaries and service delivery. Job creation programs needs to be put in place to improve the livelihoods of the communities and in such enable them to pay the municipal bills. That was one of the proposals made. And then the Namakwa Water Board is problematic, and Dwafi's investigation, they ordered investigation into this, and they're still awaiting the outcome thereof. But it seems like it's going to cost 70 to 90 million to upgrade that pipeline. Karahais hasn't been visited. At the meeting of the 7th of October, we agreed that Karahais and Mir will be visited by this team. Specifically, Karahais, it was the credibility of the budget that was discussed, but Mir, I think, needs a lot of more intervention from our side. Mir was visited by Housing and Local Government to speak about the IDP specifically, but that one the treasury, and those will go and visit Karaj and meet together to discuss. Hatilupile, we're still waiting for the approval of the social labor plan from DME, and other local government was tasked to follow that up with DME. Sianuma, if you remember this year, it was the issue of the 185% increase of the water. It was said that the tariff increase will be phased in over a 5-year period. A lot of support provided by housing and local government as well as provincial treasury in terms of the implementation and enforcement of policy. Investigation needed for the tarring of the road between Douglas and Hopetown. And we will find out from Pixley if it is on the priority list. Mira spoke about. And also Mira, it was decided that WAF will also meet with the MM to discuss the water issues because that's also problematic in that area. Then Francis Bart, the concern was the 57 million reserve that they've got. Provincial Treasury investigated the fund. My colleague Philip has got more the details of that. The credibility of the budget was also investigated. Pukwani, the local municipality, intends to take over the water functions from the Sedibeng Water Services. But if you remember correctly, it was a matter of salary levels that needs to discuss and so on. Progress with regards to the service level agreement of the provision of services to Pompeer staff is not certain. That issue is also being investigated by the local government. The local municipality did not submit its Section 71 report. Provincial Treasury needs to confirm with local by Earth municipality on the to provide the information required. I know that this municipality was also called by a national treasury on this issue. Maharin is problematic in terms of the intergovernmental relations. There's not a good cooperation between the local municipality and I think also what came out throughout all of these municipalities is especially the sector department's involvement in the IDP processes. Also with Maharin, a lot of resources have been pumped into this municipality. But at this moment, it doesn't seem like we're getting anything. Jay, if you remember correctly, this was also the municipality where the presentation was stopped. So it was agreed that the team needs to pick up a meeting with the TFO specifically to discuss all these issues. The Hatlo will be visited by Provincial Treasury by mid-November. The one concern that was raised was the supply chain management that they've outsourced, and it is to discuss this issue. So Plankey, the National Treasury visited the municipality to engage them on the audit outcome, and it was resolved that the team to visit this municipality was National Treasury as well with regard to the remedial plan. On the audit outcomes, and we will also discuss the plan, the credibility of the budget, and the 35 million loan, as well as the overpayment of the council, if you remember correctly, that issue as well. Then we have taken resolutions at the meeting of the 7th of October, basically just to say how the local government will follow up on the progress of the appointment of the MMs and CFOs at all the municipalities where there are vacancies. By the 2nd of November, the team will look at the issues of the municipalities' credibility, organizational structures, to link that with service delivery, DPLG to give support where it is needed, and then also the dates of the visits will be communicated. The team will explore possibilities of bringing another institution on board to look at the organizational structure. The team will also look at the financial management grant, MIG, MSIG, and why municipalities are underspending, and you know. Then also DWARF will continue and support. It was also agreed that the Provincial Capacity Building Steering Committee should be co-opted onto this team. There are already workshops in place, two-day workshops to discuss the grants for the municipalities, and also a workshop per district will be held with councillors to equip themselves for their oversight role.
That's right. Cardinal de Norca. Nothing came. Questions, comments? Okay, we come back to the Nothing Cave. The Kingdom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the first three municipalities, Ingwe, Utebezwe, and Nangoma, we have commenced supporting them earlier in the year, and I'll give you a progress of maybe all of them. The second category of municipalities is Matuba Tuba and Makumulu, which we've grouped together. We commenced supporting them about 2 weeks ago, and I'll give you an update of our findings on that. The next category is Impende Municipality, which is the subject of Section 139 by local government, and Kusunduzi Municipality, which is now dedicated to municipalities under the National Association. And finally, the last basket of municipalities, which is Oklahoma, Mzanyasi, Singa, Kumandra, and Mavondi. Chair, the progress that we've made to date, firstly, with regards to Ingwe, the general ledger has been updated from 1st of July 2007 to December 2007. Billing from 1st of July 2007 to December 2007 was completed and statements now being sent out to debtors. And most of the problems that emanated were all financial challenges that they had. So it's also important to mention that with regards to Ingwe and both the Buchlebeswehr, that the CFOs have left. In fact, the Buchlebeswehr, the CFO has been suspended. There's an acting CFO that's been appointed. Investment grants also continue with Ingwe. Grants and creditors were reconciled and staff have been trained accordingly. Ingwe now has one of the consultants that has been appointed as the acting CFO. The bank accounts were reconciled for the period starting December 2005, and we brought that up right up to December 2007, and we've also assisted them with the IYM. But Bushi Belsphere, a bit of a political problem, also a challenge at the municipality, but I think with the new municipal manager that's in place, I think there is a commitment to turn things around. Coupled with these two municipalities is our relationship with the DBSS, Sierra Manche. We've complemented our resources and we've deployed one financial expert to oversee both these municipalities about 3 weeks ago. With the Wushabeswe, the billing for the period 1st of July to end of February has been completed. And these are all backlogs that we're not able to perform previously. Staff have also been trained on proper monitoring of debtors. All grants have been reconciled. Templates for the monthly reconciliation of control accounts were prepared and staff have been trained on these preparations. VAT returns for October to December 2007 have been completed. And there was also an issue around the DBSA loan with this municipality, which we have reconciled and we presented the municipality with information for them to take a proper decision. More than likely, it would result in the disposal of one of the properties that they had that purchased through this loan. Nangoma Municipality. Key balance sheet accounts, including banks, debtors, VAT, salary, suspense, creditors, payroll records for the period 1st of July 2007 to the financial year end June 2008 have been reconciled. We're still monitoring the cash flow very closely. We have some concerns around that. There is still a political challenge in that municipality between the administration and the politicians. We've also prepared policies and procedures for the debtors' processes, and those have been revised and presented to the council. Conditional grant expenditure records for July 07 to June 08 have been reconstructed. And restructuring of the creditors process, including the ordering process, processing of invoices and payments, have been developed, including a workflow manual. Fixed asset register for July 07 to June 08 have been updated. Adjusting journal entries have been prepared by us and handed to the municipality. In addition, the VAT accounts for the period 1st of July 07 to June 08 have been reconstructed and reconciled since the beginning of the financial year. Chair, the two municipalities that we commenced in the last 2 weeks were Matuba Tuba, the first one which I will discuss. What we've found as far as some of our methodology will be going to the municipality. Our approach is firstly that we do a financial cost evaluation, and then we go into an on-site assessment before we start the actual assistance. Thus far, our findings that the significant cash flow deficits of $1 million as of October. Unspent conditional grants have not been cashed back, and this is $6.3 million. So if you add that, you're looking at a deficit of about $7.3 million already. Conditional grants have been utilized on the operating expenditure, and this is quite a common trend to all the municipalities in the data. Lack of reconciliation of key control accounts in the general ledger, and long outstanding debtors of about $22 million. $17 million of this is sitting in 120 days. Personnel costs amount to 50% of the operating expenditure, which is quite alarming. Again, lack of skilled finance staff. There's been a new CFO that's been appointed, I think, at the beginning of September, if I recall. Makumulu, also, the problems that we've uncovered so far is uncertainty of status of general ledger due to a lack of credible reconciliation. This is just our findings now. The next step is to start building up the records.
lack of proper systems on key financial processes, creditors' debtors, and financial reporting, lack of understanding of basic bookkeeping, leading to inaccurate general ledger and poor cash flow management. Sure, we've also, with regards to EPA, although it's a subject of the Section 139, I can perhaps give you a quick update of where we are with that. There's been a joint agreement between Amgeni Municipality and Impende in terms of the audit committees and the shared service. SCM, our SCM unit is providing additional direct support around the SCM regulations and the committee structure. DBFC has deployed a finance expert into that local authority. And in terms of the recovery budget, what local government has said that it was a budget of 6.3 million to assist various systems and processes, structurally as well as functionally. They've spent about 2.1 million or 34% of their budget today. So there is a plan in place in terms of restoring that municipality. The other municipalities which I put into the different basket, which is Oklahoma, Anzaliasi, and Singa, and Kandla, and Mboti, those municipalities, surely we are still preparing our planning to approach them in terms of support. That will probably be towards the latter part of the year.
Okay. The kingdom. Comments? Questions? Yes, it's okay.
I may be right to say in terms of the report that seems to be on progress. However, I think that Tubatuba is still a huge problem. What is the status of that municipality? It's not a Section 139 or anything. Because there seems to be huge problems from what you were saying. And perhaps, I don't know if the province is intending to give some extra, what you call, support so much.
I think we'll come back to that. In terms of some of the problematic places. Let's take and move on.
Thank you, Chair. Before I go into the issues and the progress within municipalities in Mpumalanga, I just want to make a comment on some of the opening remarks that was made by William from the PLG side, and that is with regard to the spending on the MSIG and that generally the problem. In our interventions and interaction with municipalities, specifically after the committee's visit in the province, we intensify our support specifically into conditional grants and looking specifically into the group two categories grants, and that is the MIG grant as well as the MSIG grant. And our findings was that although there was a severe underspending report at the DPRG level, during our intervention and interaction with the municipalities with colleagues of DPRG, we formed a team treasury, the Department of Local Government as well as DPRG, and we went into those municipalities only to find that there were capacity problems within those specific municipalities, not in all, but in some of those municipalities with regard to reporting. Funds get spent, but reporting channels through to the relevant mother department where the grants are coming from is not at the standard that we expect. And so we now have, as I said now, through the intervention, assisted those municipalities to correctly report to the expenditure to national, and therefore then the jump from, as William has indicated, from March to June, from 40% to 100% spending. I'm not saying 100% spending in the province, but I think generally the expenditure on the MSIG was not that bad, although there is problems with municipalities that still experience problems in the province. It is, we are working on those capacities within the municipality to specifically help them. Mm-hmm. Then, Chairperson, to go into the specific municipalities, I want to put on the record first of all, yes, we provide the support and I will go through the progress in the relevant municipalities as indicated, the seven municipalities. But I also want to just raise with the committee that there's other municipalities in our province that are severely under pressure. Municipalities like, for instance, the committee is aware of the intervention that took place in our capital city, Bombela. I'll just briefly the report that was submitted, the close down report, as well as the withdrawal of the Section 139. So in that specific municipality, there was tremendous progress that was made, getting them up on their feet again. the Lipa municipality, we're currently sitting with Lipa municipality, that's coming now for a couple of years with disclaimers, with adverse opinions from the Office of the Auditor General, interaction from both departments, Department of Local Government, jointly with the Provincial Treasury. We really struggled in the municipality. Currently, the status quo is the CFO as well as the municipal manager has been suspended due to supply chain management irregularities. No, Lipa municipality. I'm just highlighting quickly the other municipalities that's not appearing under the or falling under the seven that we're reporting. But so in Lipa, we really sit with severe challenges. We conducted. Okay. Thank you, sir. If I then have to report back on the municipalities, that's actually where the committee interacted previous for most of the challenges that were raised and the issues that were raised, where we need as a support team to provide support to those municipalities, first of all in the budget, the credibility of the budget. So in Steve Tweta, Emma Slaney, Sartabandi, Albert Letuli, Masiku Ligua, Emma Kazeni, and Guz Bahari, from the provincial treasury side, and the Department of Local Government, a joint memorandum of understanding was signed by both MECs to actually put our forces together as the Department of Local Government. We were, reestablished the 1st of April this year, but we were split from the Department of Local Government and Housing and from the Department of Local Government. So we indeed did have our capacity problems. But one of the speakers, I think it was Treasurer, or somebody made the comment that if we join forces, our efforts for this are so much easier. Now, in the memorandum of understanding, through the memorandum of understanding between the Department of Local Government and Provincial Treasury, we then did form a budget task team, and that budget task team is actually then also responsible for consolidating, review and assessment of the budget of the municipalities. Unfortunately, it's not giving us the answers that we actually anticipated. Through providing support to the municipalities. The gentleman from National Treasury indicated that we should now take a further step. The interaction, yes, we do the assessments of the budget. Unfortunately, municipalities doesn't consider the recommendations from the provincial treasury or from the budget team for implementation, meaning that we do the assessment. First of all, if we look at those, if we look at the compliance circular from according to the Municipal Finance Management Act, Circular 28, municipalities during the visit and even prior to the visit, first to say none of them have complied to that compliance circular. Interaction with the municipalities, and I'm not only speaking the seven in general, that there's an assessment that gets done at the provincial level, there's an assessment that gets done at the national level, but the physical implementation of those recommendations doesn't take place at the national level. And unfortunately, legislation or the compliance issues not in our favor to actually enforce compliance of those recommendations, and that remains a challenge within the province, and I believe in certain other provinces as well. Now, I just want to also mention that linked to the budget assessment, we've also then established in a forum in the province prior to the budget to actually do the assessments of the IDPs, as well as the assessments of the SDS. I've got a colleague here after I take my input. I will allow him to also go into those specific assessments to indicate how these municipalities did benefit. It might sound today that I'm just crying, but it is a matter of putting efforts in place, and you don't get the necessary buy-in from the municipal level, participation from sector departments, and that makes our role that much more difficult to ensure that there's compliance, to ensure that there's assessments, ensure there's credibility on the IDPs, the budgets, and so forth. So, during the last month,
I'll stop you there. Well, I can already see the picture. We are serious about that again in your problem. We will have to work on it.
Many of these municipalities. And just listening to what's being said there now is, and I think everybody that's here from province
fact, look, I think that the way forward is that we've got to isolate some of those problems and we've got to put in place a way of assisting those problems. We're not short of ideas and answers, but we will be able to have problems in the moment.
I didn't
want to say
that. Robinson is becoming this big priest, you know, because some of my kind of Bible and with him, with the view of
it. But then I'm more of a collector. Maybe it would be useful as well to get a clearer report in terms of, it's a patient report in terms of the municipality, so that from our side we can be able to know what is the problem. Because sometimes when it's generalized, we might find it difficult to assist.
No, we will surely resolve that one. We won't have run out of ideas. The smart province is still caucusing Free State.
The last sitting of the NCOP Metro State was the 16th of October. 12 municipalities were appeared in front of the NCOP. And since that, we have had engagement with six municipalities. Starting with Machabeng, we have had a meeting on the 20th of October in Machabeng, where we finalized the terms of reference for the hands-on support. We have decided to deploy two officials from provincial treasury to assist the municipalities. The focus areas for this terms of reference would be credible budgets and monthly reporting, revenue collection, implementation of the indigenous policy, as well as competency profile. These officials will start working at Machabeng on the 3rd of November. Chairperson, the municipality is having an overdraft facility of 30 million, and already they are over their limit. Today, there is a meeting with ABSA, their banker, DBSA, as well as provincial treasurer, to see how we can assist this municipality. The municipality is struggling to pay their accounts. There will be another meeting on the 21st of November with National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, Local Government and Housing. With the municipality, the meeting will focus on the financial recovery plan. Chairperson, on the 3rd of November, we will be meeting with Local Government and Housing to come up with a plan moving forward after the visit. The plan would focus on what was identified during the visits and how best we can then work with the other stakeholders. But looking at Machabeng, the plan will also focus on the financial support for Machabeng. Moving to Harip, as you know, this municipality is under Section 139. We would recommend that the committee visits this municipality. There's serious political problems in this municipality. The MM has resigned. The CFO that was suspended by the MM has since been reinstated. Chairperson, the mayor is suspended. The mayor is appealing. There was a report that was done by Provincial Treasury, Department of Local Government and Housing, as well as the administrator at the municipality. The report is yet to be tabled at the municipality. Looking at Naledi Chairperson, the report on Section 106 was tabled by the MEC for Local Government and Housing. both the MM and the CFO posts are vacant. The acting CFO has also resigned. There is only a consultant in the treasury function, but this consultant is not getting any cooperation from the municipality.
I think what is sufficient with you is the fact that at least I'm happy. Just 6 days after we left, you had meetings, not to us in Federation. And that we do want to urge everybody, therefore, to be an exemplary as yourselves, not to allow space. Because already you seem to have moved with speed, and I'm happy, because already you've engaged much having, which is the biggest threat in that forum, but I think what we shall do is to allow you to engage with all the others, and I think that's a big issue that is very critical. Let's go back then to the smart problem.
Thanks, Jim. Jay, in terms of the seven municipalities highlighted, part of in the city being district, we have an unqualified report in Citibank. Our engagement with Citibank District.
What?
Citibank District.
You are lying.
Yes, unqualified.
Citibank.
The district municipality.
I
mean. Yes.
It's kind of
we do.
Good progress, I must say.
Midvale as well, unqualified, and steady unqualified. Our engagement.
Steady.
Yes.
You are lying. No,
yes,
can somebody get me the website now?
Yes, okay.
Yeah. This way, this is way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Midvale.
Those are negotiated while unqualified.
Thanks. And I think we continue to support these municipalities where we do it on a demand basis, as and when needed. In terms of Mpumalanga, that is our big story, and I think we have upscaled our support to Mpumalanga. Recently, there's been instability in Mpumalanga up until the new mayor has been appointed and an acting MM. So we still have an acting MM. The big problems in Mpumalanga generally cuts across the entire municipality. Serious critical vacant posts. The level of skills of staff is still a question. We continue to provide support. We have upscaled our skills development program at the lower level. And at the senior level, we are providing hands-on support. We have hands-on support in partnership with DBSA, both in engineering and in finance. In the finance area, we have upscaled that support. We recently provided support of the AFS. We are hoping to move Mpumalanga from a disclaimer to a qualification and hopefully to an unqualified. So we have upscaled the support tremendously in Mpumalanga. Issues in Mpumalanga that we had to deal with was around the revenue enhancement. We have done a very comprehensive support around revenue enhancement and data integrity to the point where roughly through the data integrity process, we have written off close to nearly 600 million, which was cleaned through our support in Mpumalanga. There are unresolved legal issues in Mpumalanga cutting across. So the HR department plays a very important role in terms of the functionality and the stability of the municipality. We provided hands-on support in that area to try and unblock those legal issues on staff that were suspended going to 2004. And I think we're making progress on that. So with that, Chair, I will go on to Mohali City. In Mohali City, from not being able to hand in annual financial statements on time, we have progress to handing in annual financial statements on time. We have a qualification. But we, with our concerted effort on Operation Clean Audit, we are moving and we are hoping that we're going to intensify our support to Mohale City in the next financial year and hope to get an unqualified. So they, our support is targeting unqualification. Our problem and concern, we continue to monitor Woodhouse and Treasury, is the imminent cash flow problem in Mohale City. It's stable. The municipality is running, it's fulfilling its core functions. However, in the last quarter, they have dug into the overdraft, but at this point in time, we are not overly concerned, but we will continue to monitor that. The revenue, and that's largely due to the revenue problem in Mohale City. They're not able to collect enough, so there's declining collections. So our support will be focusing on that. We have hands-on support through our partnership with SAICA, so we have suitably qualified accountants deployed there, and we are hoping to upscale that support. I have Nokeng and Kungwini left. In Nokeng, it has a disclaimer. We are also upscaling our support in the next 6 months to deal with all the disclaimer issues in Nokeng. Our problem is also imminent cash flow problems. The municipality is not viable as a municipality, but we continue to support it. Recently, we've even funded, through our partnership with Health and Treasury, the CFO post. So that is the extent of the problem in Nokeng. Other problems in Nokeng relate to the boycott that is taking place, rates boycott. And then currently, there's engagement and our hands-on support through our suitably qualified accountants have also assisted in that. In Kungwini, we find it, since Section 139, Kungwini is relatively stable. You know, we still have challenges. The challenge in Kungwini largely is attracting the right skill. So there are still critical vacant posts in the finance department, particularly at what you call senior accountant levels. It's also because it's outlayer, so Swanee attracts more of this. Of the skilled staff. I'll stop there, Chair. If my colleagues want to add, they're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Rural provinces are always worried about skill shortage. This is how it is now. As you heard, they are running short of skills in some of the municipalities. It's a big issue. Okay. Look, what is not a big problem already? Intergovernmental relations do not seem to be problematic across municipalities, except the one municipality that was raised in the Northern Cape. So I think we don't have a big problem in that respect. But then the bigger problems are in the following area, and maybe that's where we shall have some discussion. One, firstly, the credibility of the budget. That's a big one. And as long as these budgets are not credible, municipalities will not be able to sustain. Number two, in that, get into the pocket operational budget. And looking at the salary bill still remains the big issue that we are confronted with. Number two, Willie addressed this. You know, this animal, in the context of massive needs of funds investment, we've got to break the back of that water. We've got to deal with that. But then number three, there's this matter of unfunded money. It's a matter that we've got to assist and think. Poor collection of revenue. Critical to ensure that these municipalities become. Therefore, five, the debt has. And what worries me here is the fact that MM seem to be oblivious of Section 64.3 of the MFMA in respect of ensuring that they firstly notify national treasure in respect of all of these areas, etc., etc. It's a matter that we must very sharply with MM. The issue of performance of conditional grants, again, is problematic. We will have to have a bigger discussion. That was the budget issue. Now we will have to have a bigger discussion on the alignment of IPPs, because there's just no alignment at all. We want to plead, in fact, even if we don't have a discussion, we want to plead with the Department of Local Government that are here to go back together with your own DPLG national. Really look at a proper framework in respect of the IPP. But for me, from the Eastern Cape all the way, we have not seen alignment. People talk all sorts of good things about the provincial growth and development strategy, which is also problematic, by the way. I mean, part of my problem is that you are saying this IPP must align with something that is also problematic itself. Okay. And so, that's another matter. So how do you then ensure alignment of this thing? But also, how do you benchmark this thing? Because as we do assessments of IPPs, you know, it's a myth, it's absolutely a myth from where we're sitting. Today, this municipality is ranked 2. In terms of your IPP credibility, or 1 or 4 of us, it's just not on. Because we think ourselves the basis for ranking is just not there. Not very clear. Exactly what are you looking for? Are you looking for the process? And if it is the process, what are you looking for in the process? Let's take a ward. A ward has plus minus 40,000 people. Now, how many people do you need in an IDP review meeting if it must be credible? That's the issue. So for it to be credible, then that it becomes owned. But secondly, how do we then deal with priorities of communities in the IDP? Thirdly, the link between the IDP and the budget. You might also find that some of the problems of the community are also not funded. And so how do we deal with those matters? It's a big issue for us. So it's delivered. It has to do again with linking with the IDP. Identify the critical needs of communities. One of the things we've seen across almost all the municipalities that we spoke to, they speak eloquently about providing 6 kiloliters to everyone, indigent and non-indigent. And that's what we do across the country. You might be able to save money for other things if you don't give to the non-indigent. The matter that really is worth looking into. Biggest headache, indigent registers that are not available. I mean, we know, for instance, the municipality says the population is 70,000. On the indigent register, it's only 800 people. They then claim here that, no, this municipality needs more funds. Again, we're saying there could be savings if the indigent register was proper and accurate. So it is a critical matter that we've got to deal with. Capacity constraints. William is right, we've been raising Section 68 and all of the 68 in the first of CAC. Municipalities again are not taking advantage of that part of the legislation, first and foremost. But secondly, both national and provincial departments also do not sit with municipalities to identify these problems, especially this capacity. It's a matter that is very critical. Then there is the issue of reporting. That's also critical. It's a matter that we've got to ensure that we win. Reporting by municipalities. And lastly, data, data, data. planning surely will not be correct if there is no data. If you don't know exactly what you're talking about, people say if you can't measure it, you can't do this. But basically those are the issues that I think we must just reflect on briefly in our discussion now. And we will then come back to provinces like the North. In fact, the Northwest were clear what is sufficient. We've got to engage the political leaders. Mpumalanga, let me just go straight there immediately. Mr. Sokol is right. We need a list of all of those municipalities that are creating those issues. People that do not consider advice, people that do not consider recommendations, do not implement resolutions, and etc. We want that list because we want to call them ourselves. We will work out a program. It's either we go there or we call them just to deal with that. The first stage. Again, we shall be giving you space, but we shall be engaging the political elements of the process in terms of that. Of course, that's what it is, mistake. You know, CFOs can just not be compromised. There is the MSIG, first and foremost, properly qualified CFOs. Now, before we then engage in this discussion about all of this, I want to raise a question firstly to the province now. Maybe then each province will just say yes or no, and we just don't qualify it. Do you yourselves have the required capacity? We're raising this question for the second time. You're getting a second time right now. We had called yourselves some time about two, 3 months ago, and we're raising this question, and you said yes. All the necessary capacity. You must again try and relax to the great again. Do you have certainly the necessary capacity to do all of these things that I was saying? I started from the budget, ITP, etc. So that we must then go take a step backward. And I'm raising this because you are both here, the provincial treasury and local. Because it means people must then go back and do some proper budgeting. If it means you don't have the capacity in terms of testing the system, well, why not take that decision? Because for us, this municipal support is much more appropriate if you've got men and women that will be on the ground without micromanaging my municipality. It must be there when they are needed. Don't a lot of people have with emails and telephones and cell phones. One man and women and get funded. Do we have, therefore, as the two departments, provincial treasury and local government, the necessary capacity?
You
have the men and women to do this.
Because it's not very important then to give the minutes.
Put together with the treasurer.
Project manager, the
thanks. But if you go alone, we're building capacity. So we can say, if we're the department, we don't have the requisite capacity to do all the things. But because we're partnering with the treasurer and we've agreed that let's pull resources, yes, we have. Not completely. Hence, we were building the capacity within the department. Yes.
Let's talk about it. Can you quantify that? And then engage in it. I'm saying both of yourself. Quantify that, both internally in your own department, but also in their department, so that let's all go to the budget. Fine. We hear what you need to do. Are you ready to do this thing? Do you have the necessary capacity in the two departments?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll speak on behalf of the provincial treasury. My colleagues from local government and housing are not here. Chairperson, I would say no. we have identified that, as you were saying, that compliance monitoring, this oversight only is not working. We need to focus on hands-on support. Therefore, we do not have all the resources for hands-on support. We tried in this budget to put more people. Unfortunately, there's just not enough funds because we're looking at a situation where we are deploying officials to go and be present at municipalities. So in that regard, Chairperson, no, we do not have the necessary funds.
Okay. Okay.
No, Chairperson. We are using a model of contracting in expertise. So as a department, I think we are tired, but we keep up with municipalities. And thank you, sir. No.
Thank you, sir. From the local government side, definitely not. Especially with the new establishment of the new department, we set a severe baseline problem from the budget. It looks like we have to phase in our new structure that was approved, but unfortunately, with the request and the demand out there, we are not guilty.
Okay.
Just looking at compliance.
Lord, where?
No, sir, we don't.
Yeah, I think on the side of treasury, we might seem to be having capacity in terms of the number of staff, but the capacity of our officials, I think, is a lot of a challenge that we have to deal with because we had inherited people from other units within treasury. But I think we are now in the process of trying to sort out our own internal capacity within our own treasury. I think my colleague will answer for local government.
Yes, Chair, I think if you take into consideration the number of employees from DPSA, yes, if you take into consideration that, we don't have the capacity.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I have a suggestion which begins to say, can't you request maybe the study group or the research unit of the committee to commission a report from all the provinces to say what is the status quo of resources available to assist municipalities in terms of the organogram, list of filled posts, unfilled financial resources, and the baseline to support. Further than that, maybe also say, what does each province think is the ideal position in terms of human resource, number of human resource personnel who should provide the hands-on support to municipalities, the cost implication thereof. Maybe also put the so-called option of outsourcing the function. What could be the cost implication? Once we've got the report from the 9 provinces, the research unit of the Select Committee on Finance may then begin to say, this is the written confirmation of the status quo and what the provinces think should actually be the position to successfully support municipalities. And then share to all the provinces what has been collected by the research unit, and then maybe on the basis of that, come up with maybe a proposed model of a human and financial resources that must be there in each province, proportionate to the number of municipalities that they are supposed to provide hands-on support. They may differ from one province to the other. And then also request the Select Committee on Finance to also put the argument on behalf of the provinces to Treasury, National Treasury, when necessary, to provide the necessary financial resources, because the issue of baseline in provinces for this particular unit on municipal support is very low, and with Treasury also performing the same function, you can hardly convince the average council of a province that you need more money. So maybe based on a written study report of the status quo and what people think should be the ideal position, and share that report, maybe we can input on it further, and by the end of the political year, not term, maybe the committee could have come up with to say, this is what we think Honorable Trevor Manuel should deal with and provide the necessary resources. It's just apparent that all provinces are going through hard times.
Do you have necessary capacity? DCL China. Big boss. My colleague would want to respond to that. No, to be honest, we also don't have that capacity. We have actually done the same exercise that has been prepared, and I think that's what we wanted to also confirm in terms of beginning to say, if this is the situation, how do we, what is our ideal model, so that you start raising these issues consciously, that even with the current resources that we have, how you deal with the issue. I think what the colleague has said there is exactly what we've already done in that respect. But we don't also have the capacity to be in all these provinces in terms of supporting them. Because we're looking at it from where we have to support the provinces in order for them to then have the capacity to do it. But we don't have.
There's no kind of
to assist the provincial treasurers. And in our case, with regard to the delegations that were set 2 years ago and 3 years ago, I think we basically primarily in charge of about 17 big municipalities. That is the 6 metros and the other 11 big municipalities, which all in all, their budget constitutes about 60% of local government budget. And we have to provide capacity to them, train them and do everything. And then also train the provincial treasurers, which also is a bit of a problem in there. But our aim now is to fill up the vacancies in our directorate. I think we will be advertising for about 16 or 17 positions before the end of the year, hopefully. And it will be another training process the whole of next year. And it's a continuous process, because with provincial treasurers, every now and then you get new staff. It's a continuous process where we train. And we just have to do it. We do not have any choice. But at the moment, we do not have capacity at all.
Look, we take the point here first. Something that's going to happen. What we will also do is we will allow DPLC to proceed in the same direction as they are already doing it. They are going to be advertising, we will be watching this space. But as we move forward, I think what you have said is much more critical. We will have to take that kind of a bit.
Yeah.
What I wanted to point out is that Michael Bennett has pointed out that we do not have sufficient capacity. But we do what's supposed to be done. Even if it means waiting until 10 p.m. every night, which is what we do, it becomes sort of normal. So that's not an excuse for not doing certain things and say we don't have capacity. And we do also, recognize the fact that sometimes we don't have the necessary funds to go out there and get the kind of capacity that we need. But we then grow our own capacity. I don't want to mention the fact that some of the people that have appeared in this committee were interns, but they did not come across as interns. And I'm telling you, you didn't know that they were interns.
because I'm just doing it.
Thanks. I just wanted to indicate that there is a study being conducted by Western Cape Treasury regarding the capacity that is needed by provincial treasuries to support municipalities. This was initiated by BKS. There's a provincial treasury forum where all provincial treasuries meet. Perhaps the committee can assist us by urging the Western Cape to finalize the study. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I raised my hand for what I was going to say. PPLG started this process to analyze the departments of local government in the provinces. But if this proposal from the member that says we need to go further, I think PPLG... Then I was going to proceed and say, Chairperson, I'm not sure whether, because we're talking about partnership here, PBLG and National Treasury, because if that assessment at the end of the day would require financial resources, then Treasury has got to be approached. But if that assessment is done jointly by National Treasury and PBLG, then it will be easy for them to convince those in authority.
Right, that's what we were saying in the last interaction, that when they work joint, in fact, that nobody needs to be convinced, because already everybody agrees that we need this funding. In other words, this funding that is directed to do many things that we respond to the challenge. Yes,
I want to respond from Housing Treasury. I'd like to respond to what the colleague from Free State has indicated on the capacity and structures paper. I'm actually chairing that particular initiative on behalf of the Provincial Treasury Heads Forum. And what the member at the back have raised is key features of the position paper. Now, the paper is about 85% completed, and the intention of the Provincial Treasury Heads Forum, which is basically a congregation of HODs of provincial treasuries around the country, is actually to escalate this document in connection with two other position papers as well. But I think just for the meeting's sake, just to focus on the capacity and structures paper, the intention is actually to escalate it up to the TCF for consideration, because it will have a huge element also focusing on the financial implications to sustain and support these units, both within DLG as well as provincial treasuries. And maybe it's something that we can raise at the PTF to say, what is the possibility of sharing it with the committee once the paper is completed? Thank you.
In terms of municipality, we are clear in terms of the competency. Okay. And really, this is one element that is much more critical here. I mean, the Northern Cape Provincial Treasury says we've got warm bodies. Are there the necessary skills therefore? I think that is the biggest issue. You might have, for instance, and this is why we've been raising an issue of going back to the organogram of municipalities. And I think, therefore, organograms are much more pertinent again here. Just to go and look at whether we've got the necessary competencies in the department, both of local government and treasury, so that
I think Vincent is also right. It might not be the numbers only, and also the issue of competency, commitment, etc. Very much critical issue. I'm saying it's a matter that we've got to look at, very, very critical. We know that Mpumalanga has done a skills audit across departments. But now we're really focusing on the two, ourselves, provincial treasury and local government, with specific focus on municipal support, because you don't want to see these municipalities fall down. I've seen the next.
I think one other issue that we have to look at is it's already accepted that there's a lot of capacity building initiatives that are going on within local government, but they are just fragmented. You've got SAICA, you've got Sindamanje, you've got UNDP, you've got donor funds, you've got GTZ from Germany, from Austria, and all those kind of places coming and just throwing consultants into our municipalities, whereby the poor CFO has got the queue of about 10 consultants wanting to intervene on one common thing. And I think what we should also do in the proposed study or whatever is just to come up with this way of gathering all these bodies or groups who sort of are willing or are already wanting to provide capacity to the municipalities. Congregate them, come up with a structured way in which we can help municipalities perform their duties much better, other than having all these fragmented initiatives that are currently going on in the country.
In fact, it's not just only the coordination thing, but it's also how do you synergize all the available resources and the SG's question. And let's task, therefore, DPLG and yourselves, DPLG and National Treasury, to do that. Okay, it's a matter, it's a legend. But also there is this bank sitter. Bank sitter. What are they doing? We might also, especially in respect of the financial management issues, we might also want to rope them in. Okay, just to ensure that all the, we're talking resources, are pulled together. But also the programs talk to each other. Proper synergies and coordinations are done properly. I think you're right. So I think the GPLG, I'm coming to you, William, GPLG National Treasury, start thinking about all of these people, identify all of them, convene them. Let's then engage in that in terms of this thing. So that practically, to also look into the kitties, how much it needs, and how do we then ensure that all of this money is used properly.
To share some of the experiences which I think might be useful to a number of colleagues, more especially when you raise the issues of around the IDP and the budget processes. One of the challenges that we speak of really is the internal processes and the interface between management and council in relation internally. In relation to putting together the IDP, it's a shocking discovery in some most of our municipalities that the IDP has been relegated to the IDP manager, and council delegates this function. Actually, they don't delegate it; they're abdicated to the executive, and the only time they're going to interact with the IDP is when it is brought for adoption with 16 other items on the agenda. And that has created a problem, because what you're talking about the alignment of the budget and the IDP, actually what we have discovered is that even the SDDIT does not actually align to the IDP itself. And secondly, the questions of skills plan, as we're talking about skills plan. The process is very interesting. The HR manager sends a list, a memo throughout the department and say, give me your skills, the things that you want to study. And so I can also choose the design and whatever thing. even if I'm not doing design, for compliance sake. And there's no interaction between what we've discovered is that there's no interaction around the needs of the municipality in terms of the skills plan. So it is done because the DPRG wants it. And therefore, the key issues really in some instances. And another shocking instance was the around the supply chain, because we've just recently completed trying to check why is the delay in the supply chain. It takes a minimum of 6 months to do a project and to start a project from supply chain until you have the contractor on site. 6 months, it's a minimum of 6 months. So that's why most of the time is that the projects are not done, are not budgeted for, because there is no clear program management schedules in terms of when this process is supposed to take place within the year. So slowly, you might say it's capacity. You find that the technical director is well capacitated, he's got a team of, but it's the internal processes mostly in the municipality that now we are beginning to discover that they are more becoming a problem. Because even if you have a qualified technical director, but if supply chain, the internal processes are not supporting him, there's nothing he can do. So we're really now beginning to pick up these internal business processes as an issue. And one of the things which we were also lastly proposing in the province to do was the separation that you have here of the legislation, the legislature and the executive. What you have in most municipalities is that you have the MMC being the referee player, the chair, the committee, the portfolio committees, and their executives. So therefore they decide what goes into the agenda. And what gets deferred, and sometimes you defer it until it gets lost. And therefore, so that's one of the issues that we have raised, to say that we will need to have the chairperson of these portfolio committees being members of council and reporting directly to council, and not it's a serious issue. We have serious fights around it, because people don't want to account around it. So these are mostly, they're not really issues, sometimes issues of skills, whilst we agree, but mostly they are processes, in these internal processes of how the business is conducted internally. Thanks.
You know, one of the things we must raise sharply and resolve, raise two. We will come back to the last one. Because the last one, we would want to talk to PPMG nationally. I know for Finance Committee of Housing, was a big municipality, came here just to learn how they would contribute. But look, one of the critical things we must deal with, provincial treasury and local government, national treasury and DPRG. I think this syndrome of compliance for the sake of compliance erases the skills development plan. No, surely we can't, we should not allow. People should not just comply for the sake of. But number two, again, it raises a very critical issue. People report here that we have appointed an ITP manager. Again, he says, which is correct, thrown the whole political process, etc., to some technical engagement. And hence, consultants are being used and no alignment. And therefore, the priority is not talking. And so clearly, it is a matter that must receive our greatest attention. So,
No, I think that you have the capacity. Maybe just to say for the, I mean, with the last one that you say, PPLG needs to make it. Is that maybe PPLG also needs to encourage in this local government review program. So, I mean, the issues that are being raised, they are critical. There are some of the issues, because every year will come back next year, we find that, for instance, the project has not been implemented. communication between the department and the local minister, and therefore things just go off at a tangent. So, gee, I think those things should really be looked at, and maybe things will improve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think that one of the problems that we have generally is lack of continuity. And if you don't have institutional memory, you very often have a problem. So when we're re-looking at the whole process, I think we've got to look at documentation, documenting the processes so that when people leave or are promoted, whatever, that you've got some sort of record system on which you can fall back. And where there is good practice, let us use the good practice to cross-pollinate and to assist other people who are struggling. So generally, we do need better coordination.
Thank you, Chair. Just a link up maybe with the upcoming Deputy Municipality, it was raised also by National Treasury, and the possibility of bringing it into their reporting, coming bring it into the financial statement and the reporting. I just want to raise one question. You interact with municipalities. What we've done in the province is, for instance, coming up with a task team assisting municipalities with debt collection. In the previous financial, we managed to recover 14 million on behalf of municipalities only from government departments. That process is ongoing, but the major problem is you can't look at answering debt in isolation. Municipalities debt receive funds from the departments. This is what I've experienced through the reconciliation process. They get the funds, it's being thrown into unallocated revenue accounts. We have to compare those two accounts. If they don't clear the ledger account, you will see that the outstanding debtors is up there, the unallocated revenue account, the control account is up there. If we then do a reconciliation, and this is what we're currently doing, we say then, seriously, decline of outstanding debtors, then your control account can clear. So it will be a misstatement only to report on the outstanding debt, and the partners will take us up on that. For the simple reason, as I say, it's coming back to integrity of data, seeing whether municipalities are in a position to clear it in our province, for instance. Provincial Treasury is now also supporting us in that process by giving the municipalities from the VAT system, the basic accounting system, the allocations from of all transfers that was forwarded to municipalities. I'm just raising it as a concern to say we tend to look at outstanding debt in municipalities. Yes, it is a problem, but it can be overcome. It can look better if we just start looking, assisting municipalities with proper reconciliation, allocation of those funds. We will see a tremendous reverse of the report saying that the problem is big, yes, I'm acknowledging, but it can be overcome, and thereafter we can look into the history of the outstanding debt. I'm 100% in an agreement. We've done a rate analysis on the outstanding debtors per detail per municipality in our province in the effort to try and recover some of these debts, and to be in a position to tell them which debt should be then written off, which is a recoverable debt. But I'm just raising that concern to say we must be very careful in reporting those outstanding debts without following the proper procedure and getting our analysis of the rate.
Whilst we have those aspects that you are dealing with that can assist to deal with the short-term measures of assisting municipalities, whether it is in terms of collecting what is due to them or in terms of debt owed by others, I don't know, Chair, when we will come to the discussion that you said it will be later on, of the fact that some of these municipalities do not have a revenue base. And you continue when you look into the credibility of their budgets and how they operate, you continue with a situation where you cannot avert these high salary bills, because they only depend on the conditional grant that comes. And now we're saying they must put in capacity and they employ without having anything that will cover them, and therefore they will cover in terms of putting in the critical skills, but there will be no service delivered because there's no money for service delivery.
how do you balance those things at the end, remains with us. And Chair, if we are saying we need to look at some of the short-term kind of things that we're talking about, there are certain areas that we need to look and influence in terms of areas of your bulk infrastructure in the municipalities and this operation and maintenance of some of their infrastructure. Some of those things can assist in the short-term way, then you can establish some revenue collection base that is there. But I don't know when you can really look into that. Well, Chair, if I may just make one example, when I was responsible for housing, there is a conditional grant for housing, but in those municipalities, you can't move there because there's no bulk infrastructure. So when you ask us about the houses in Mount Frey, there's nothing you can do. You can't extend anything. You can't build anything there. There's no bulk infrastructure. What do we do? How can we intervene in the budget itself?
We will have to outline how we're going to deal with that. We're not going to discuss. We've got to put some line. There is a line we have to talk about. Yes, Baba.
No, Chairperson. I just want to share this, that sometime, for 2 months ago, we had the AG appearing for this committee, where he made a point that what their experience during their rounds, they don't get a sense of commitment from the officials, wherever they are. And because they need that explanation and all that, you know. Both financial systems. I'm just saying, if we can check out that as municipalities, better.
Can I just also prevail on the point that Honorable Colin has said? I mean, the issue around the audit, I mean, the AG also came to the main mic and just that explanation in terms of what needs to really be done. I think what we then have done in that respect, which is quite, for me, progressive, is we've defined the process as to what has to be there in a province in order for us to then deal effectively with these particular issues of audit. And I think that the tripartite discussions that are taking place between the AG and Accountant General, as well as the PLC, becomes really fit into the MINMEC in the 14 has to really get that particular feedback on how we're dealing with this issue. And I think one of the key issues we're identifying is exactly this issue of the senior officials having to deal with some of these issues. And I think it's a comprehensive issue that has been dealt with. But I think the key thing that I wanted to just also talk about is to say, and I think they're right to say, we have to really be very clear in the separation of this, of the process. I mean, the viability element and the management element. I think the management element we can't compromise, irrespective of whether you're viable or not. It can't mean that you must not have records to prove that you have made an expenditure. So I think what is important is that in the bigger debate, as we discuss the issue of viability, let's not compromise and allow the financial viability element to distract the financial management and the sound financial management. And I think that distinction is quite very critical, because you had a dream, Chairperson, that you wanted all the municipalities being unqualified. Mm-hmm. And that in the dream, I think what is important, again, I'm saying, we need to try and see how we separate some of these things so that we move on the same line. That, viability is the fact that there is no revenue base, it must not affect the fact that you can't keep your proper book. That's what we need to start communicating and making sure that people must not come and reason that we have got low revenue base, therefore we will see our disclaimers in that particular regard. I think what is important is to try, much as we are not separating the relationship, but we can't allow a situation where vouchers are not being, or receipts are not being kept in that respect. Key issue that has been raised from Mpumalanga, I think the issue around the skills plan, what I've realized is also as the departments and provincial departments and national, is the execution model. Is how we are executing our business as an organization. For example, you find that people that are dealing with IDPs,
we are not sharing each other as an organization to go there. Because when you get into the IDP, some of the issues are budget related. Who's dealing with those issues? It's sitting in a municipal finance, whatever. And the key issue is the performance management system. It means that if people are throwing anything that they want to go and be trained on, it means there are no performance agreements that are similar at that level that will have personal development plans built into what I need to study in line with the position that I'm holding. So I think, obviously, it relates to how also internally we're executing the business as it is. But the other issue is to say, is it a relationship that exists between treasuries and local government? You see, we always define it about the MOA, Memorandum of Agreement. For me, the biggest challenge is, how are we executing that? You would have had Jefferson from this meeting. And you'll find that maybe the head of Treasury, as well as indicated, they're dealing with this process. Remember, they're dealing with the issue around quantifying an ideal model from a perspective of Treasury. It could be that. The local government wants in municipal finance. How is that particular process interfacing? And you can't run to a certain level and wait until you catch up and say, let others come in. And they don't have to wait. What I'm saying is that the practicality of these things for me still remains the biggest challenge, to say, how are we really practically making this? Because all in all, if you can listen very carefully, everybody saying, we have done this and that. For example, some provinces have reported that we've called, Treasury has called some of the municipalities. Where was local government? Why were they not called? Also, to whether you come and observe or not, why local government would call certain municipalities to discuss the same issues around the budget? You leave Treasury. So for me, in that regard, we are much more selective on what we collaborate on. And for me, that's not collaboration, because collaboration means that in any execution that we do, we need to really move along together in making sure that all what we're dealing with, at least we are in a position to understand that we're helping one another. That's how we're going to end up. You deploying another financial expert, Treasury deploying another financial expert to do the same reconciliation in the same response. What Bernard has been indicating as to where they're supporting. So I'm saying we still have to really go to that level in terms of execution model, in terms of our business. Because we cannot go and do IPC reviews without other people really coming on board. And at the end of the day, you know, even in terms of the MOA, I still believe that we still have a long way to go in terms of practically making sure that that thing really happens. Because if we cannot come and talk about it at this level while we're really leaving each other alone, we're selective on which other areas we collaborate on. So I think, I think those are the kind of issues that I wanted to just throw into the debate and say, as we move along, I think it is important for us to start, you know, reflecting this collaboration in a true sense, in a true sense of what collaboration is. And the key issue you are raising on the political element of it, for us, it's a very most fundamental issue that facilitate how this team must then go and support. Because for this team to really go and support, at least if you're taking and tinkering with that process, at least we are clear that at least some people would move and be in a position to find where they really can be of value to the process. So thank you.
I want to wrap up. I've seen some of you really are agitated.
Thank you, Chairman. I think what there's a lot of truth in what William is saying is that sometimes at national level we have the tendency of doing things on our own, and maybe they are not that innocent also in as far as doing things. And I think I want to bring that to a stop. Do not have the authority to do that. We are back here in Cape Town, Thomas has picked on Monday, Thomas of West on Monday, to launch the local government budget and expenditure review. I am invited.
Let's then say the following in moving forward. I hear what you're raising, MEC. But then for me, my first worry is firstly, and this is what we need to resolve first. It is the same municipalities that have no revenue base that underspend in the majority of cases on all of the conditional grants. That's one thing that for me is big. And secondly, we have for an increase now MIG, which is giving me sleepless nights now, as to whether they would be able to absorb the more. So for me, the issue is certainly, let's really deal with, and this is why if you look at the guides that we have given to everybody, in terms of where we were interacting with municipalities, certainly we were really dealing with these very small basic things, really. Issues of alignment, credibility of budget, etc., etc., etc. But then if there is some service delivery upon us, but again, it's misaligned at the same time because some things are also parachuted, etc., etc., by provincial and national departments. Something for us, really, the first issue, we've got to resolve this first thing before we even look at the bigger picture that you're talking about. Because your municipality might then be able to have the revenue. Would they then be able to absorb this revenue that's coming? I think that's the one thing. But number two, we're really raising this because what we want to do is to say everything else is in place, it's fine. The bigger municipalities, like in your province, if it's Buffalo, Nelson Mandela, etc., must then, if they are able to have, in fact, you won't have a brand new challenge because your Buffalo is becoming a metro. Now, if all of these things are working, the basics are all right, what does it mean? We want to unlock the potential to use the borrowing power for all of those municipalities that are able to do that. There's a report here that talks about Machabing. Machabing is a high capacity that has just gone down at this time. And therefore, it is affecting all the very poor municipalities in that province. Because it can't use its own borrowing power. It even overstepped its own overdraft. And so that's the very first basic thing that we want to do. For all the municipalities that are able, therefore, to use the borrowing power, they must then do so. So that the cake is much bigger at the level of the equitable share, right? But number two, at the level of conditional grants. Then the second step would then be, there is a discussion that we're raising ourselves, and this is why this discussion was also useful today with the DBSA. DBSA has a mandate as a development bank. Very specific focus on the very poor municipality. We're raising that discussion sharply with the DBSA. And so all the issues that we have raised here relate to what they call market-free themselves for very poor municipalities. We want to ensure revenue for all of those very poor municipalities. And I can tell you, each municipality has its own potential. And this is why we have said to the teams, go back firstly, look at the organograms, etc., 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 so that the necessary competencies are in the municipality. You have, therefore, everybody that is relevant for service delivery. You don't have to have technical workers populating, overpopulating the organograms. Now, we have a best practice, very poor rural. I love Mushawi. I always talk about Mushawi. It's in the Northern Cape, and we do want to invite people to go and visit that municipality. It's performing better on a yet very poor. They started with the basics correct. When they started employing one person, the MM, growing to the CFO, and the staff component is growing. The staff component now, the last time we were there, they were about 40 in the establishment. But what is good about them is the fact that their operational budget the capital budget is much higher than the operational budget. Those are the basics we'd want to see going forward. Number two, again, we want to plead with the, or just before that, let's go back into that issue of this unallocated funds and reconciliation. Again, let's ask the municipality to deal with those matters. But then, let's again plead and say you are pleading. Clearly, there is work going on in the province. The problem is that it's interesting that you are complaining that municipalities are not supporting when you are also not reporting yourself. William wants reports because we want those reports. And therefore, it's not collaborating with William and Vincent. And so, as we are saying municipalities are not reporting, let's also check that up ourselves. And so, we do want to repeat what we did say last time. Can this collaboration, first and foremost, National Treasury, DPLG, local government, and provincial treasury, be realized in practical terms? What we want to see happening there is that these two national departments must be part and parcel of your engagement all the time. We are pleading for that. So that as you do all of these things, please ensure that you invite them. In other words, work out work schedules that are not congested, such that they're able to, because they've also said they don't have the capacity and kind of people that would come and to be part of your meeting. Can you then ensure that as we work out these schedules, they accommodate one person from National Treasury, one person from DPLG, and yourselves in the province. Because I do not want to hear you next time we call you disputing what Willie is writing and what he said, but also I don't want a convenience report that is quickly arranged on the eve of us meeting. So we're saying organically, dynamically, in the, on an ongoing basis, on the basis of a program that seeks to assist these municipalities. And therefore, let's go back to all of these issues we have raised, the issues I had raised earlier. That credibility of that budget is very critical. Let's go back and deal with that. It is you, unfortunately, who had approved those budgets. They remain, these budgets that are not credible. And so both of yourselves, the provincial treasurer and national treasurer, are guilty. Go back, work on those things, and ensure that these things are credible. Local government, you are also responsible for some of these things. Let's work together. The IDP thing, the skill development plans, all of these matters, let's engage with municipalities such that people must not just comply for the sake of it, it does not assist us. And so, all of these issues that we have raised, the budget performance, the credibility, the salaries, investments, unfunded mandate collection, debtors, repairs and maintenance. Big issue. And all the budgets are budgeting 2 cents for repairs and maintenance. And yet salaries are 40 billion. Huh? What are these people paid for? What are they doing? 40 billion. And yet, maintenance and repairs is only 2 cents. Terrible. Let's deal with that. Let's surely deal with that. And so, this thing, all of them, as we have raised, please, I'm pleading again. Because I think there is, I think, a better picture from what we see. It would be nice if decent cable has not really raised other problematic municipalities. Maybe when we meet with the SG, he can give us another list as to say, well, you did 3 in all, why don't you do 4 or 5, and these would be the next 4 or 5 that we must do. But then for confidence for Northwest, we shall have to go back to the same, but we'll add 1 or 2 mafikians that are left out by mistake. In the Free State, Manujia Kofun was left out by mistake, and Mangau. They are falling apart. And so we're saying, you might also assist us in your provinces by saying, you left out, Mpumalanga was already saying some of these. It might be useful just to give us also a list from where you sit that says, well, these are some of the municipalities you might want to go to. Why not? Because the early, I mean, there's still a long way to go before an election is held for municipalities, and so we must assist. So that by the time they get to that election, my dream must be fulfilled. Firstly, that of unqualified audit. But secondly, properly aligned IT just in terms of all the internal processes that you are raising, if we effort those small basic things, surely my dream is going to be fulfilled in the last 5 6 years. Let me see, do you have the last word? Not on desktop.
Thank you, Chair. I hope earlier on I was not understood to be under scoring the importance of what you said. I'm saying moving forward, we also have to look this moving. Chair, I think we would really welcome you coming back and take some of the other municipalities. And we have this turnaround plan wherein we are focusing on different municipalities so that we can build the capacity such that in future they are able to support their respective municipalities.
Okay, there are only two good districts that I know of for now. Until somebody tells me some story, it is Ngangala, Akadu. No, you're telling me short now. I'm saying that I know of. Still, I deal with that one. Zola, anyway, do you have some lunch somewhere? Where is your lunch? Right next door, yes. As long as you don't bite your finger. It's called a finger lunch. We are joining the meeting. Mr. Sokol is asking for a small contact already. And Madam Kun.
No, sir. So we can fly up to the home.
I'm going to find out from her, and then I'll email you by today. So.
Okay, thanks a lot. Eh?
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.